confession!
Middle of the afternoon, the streamliner is lit up, ready to go. No buffering today. That's my goal. First, Leslie, the opening, and then Tom Skilling. Hello, Leslie.
Hello, Gary. The Texas man accused of killing six members of his extended family fainted during his first court appearance today. Ronald Lee Haskell collapsed as a Harris County judge read the capital murder charges against him. His court-appointed attorney has indicated he's looking into Haskell's mental health for a possible insanity plea. A 9-year-old boy from Highland Park, along with a 9-year-old boy from Texas and that boy's mom, were plucked from the waters of Green Bay today after going missing during a kayak ride yesterday. They left yesterday afternoon, weren't found until about 6 a.m. today. And LeBron James is heading back to Cleveland. In a story for Sports Illustrated, he summed up his decision to leave the Heat and rejoin the Cavs, saying, "My relationship with Northeast Ohio is bigger than basketball. I didn't realize that 4 years ago. I do now." Taking a look at the area expressways, Eden's outbound's about 21 to Lake Cook Road. Inbound's a half-hour trip from Lake Cook to the Kennedy. Kennedy outbound's at 36 to O'Hare. Inbound side, a full 58 minutes from O'Hare in. It's about 32 from the junction. Eisenhower's a half-hour between the post office and Mannheim with an inbound tie-up approaching the tri-state, making it 50 in from 53. Stevenson's at 57 to 355. Inbound at 50. Ryan, pretty standard stuff, about 20 either way between downtown and 95th. But no traffic is moving eastbound on I-80 with a crash at Kedzie. This one appears to be a fatal incident, so obviously there will be an investigation. Solid traffic starts well before LaGrange Road. I'm Leslie Keidling, WGN.FM.
Well, John and Carol Ashpad are here today from Geneva, Wisconsin, too.
What was that name again?
Ashpad. John and Carol.
Nice to have them here. You can never have enough ash pads in the ballpark.
From the WGN Tower.
Yeah, remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In.
Oh, my God.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.FM.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Orland Park and Dublin.
Here.
Three gorillas at a Minnesota zoo walked out of their unlocked cages.
Come on, come on, come on.
The three were described as bachelor gorillas. Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
I don't have time, darling.
20 minutes later, two of the gorillas were secured.
Hello, hello.
The third was found in a storage room playing with boomer balls.
Those aren't pillows.
Hope Boomer enjoyed that. If you're a gorilla, what better time to escape than the weekend when Dawn of the Planet of the Apes opens? You want to see if you're being portrayed accurately, right? That's not the way we act! Boo! Thumbs down, big hairy thumbs down from these three gorillas.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Veronica Chaos is a ventriloquist, formerly a stripper, who at the end of her ventriloquism show has sex with a dummy. How many times have you said that? Remember, all vents wake up with wood.
Yeah, that's kind of Gary Meyer corny. We'll go with that.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting off the grid and all over the planet on WGN.FM. The F is for flying on the Super G, the Streamliner, in Chicago.
I get a good feeling, yeah.
Had Mike McConnell's back, Tom, and wow. I don't know where Duffy got that. But that
so that
hurt.
Was Mike. I couldn't tell who that was.
That was Mike McConnell at the end there throwing a shot.
Wow.
I broadcast from the Mike McConnell Memorial Studio.
I remember
this
that.
This is where they shoved him when they wanted to break him, yeah. And they did. And that was the end of that. Wow. But I thought I always got along with the man.
It certainly seemed that way.
That was out of context, so I shouldn't judge, but
right.
Out of context, that stings, my man.
Jeez. You know, that Duff has quite a library
he
back
does.
There, doesn't he? It's just amazing.
He's finding some new gems that I have not heard before.
Look at how long ago might that have happened. That was a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to know that was in the library somewhere.
He's got them all cataloged back there, and when he wants to use them, he can just go, boom, there it is.
Wow.
Yesterday I talked to you about, according to the text I got at 312-521-8600, BBM AM reported that there's a polar vortex coming to Chicago next week, and you, of course, rolled your eyes and went, you can't have that in the summer. And now the story comes out in full today. It may be July, but that won't stop the polar vortex from returning to Chicago next week. No need to break out the snow shovels just yet, though.
Yeah. it's such a loaded term. But this is
coming from somebody at the National Weather Service in Romeoville.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the folks at the Big Center out in Maryland had talked about this anomalously strong cool spell that's coming in early next week that may, in fact, produce some records. And they said this is not the polar vortex. So you can't have that.
You explained it yesterday.
Let's put it this way. The summer polar vortex, or what's left of it, is a fraction. It's a mere shadow of what we consider a polar vortex in the winter.
But you can't even say polar vortex June, July, August. You said that yesterday. So
yeah.
I have it on tape.
It's true. And I,
Duffy has it on tape, too.
I've worked in this business for 47 years. I can't remember a cool spell in July, and we've had them. We looked yesterday, and we found out that about a third of July's have produced a day with temperatures that haven't reached 70. So it's not unusual to have cool weather. But I can't remember any instance in which we attributed that to the polar vortex in July. And, you know, you think about how the dynamics of the atmosphere have changed. I mean, first of all, the Arctic regions are bathed in sunlight 24 hours a day now. So that doesn't mean it can't get cold up there. You can bring cloud cover in, and there's ice up by the North Pole and so forth on the water. But you don't have this mammoth dome of cool air like that which develops in the wintertime and comes down here. So this is a break-off pool of cool air, and it will be unseasonably cool. It may be an academic point, what we're talking about. The only thing is, there was a lot of criticism over the winter about the massive use of polar vortex every time we turned around. And, in fact, I would argue that it was generally used correctly. But
I don't know anybody who would argue that.
Oh, yeah.
God, we all hated
the relentless
winter, and it was a polar vortex every day.
And you know what's interesting, Gary? That term has origins back to the mid-1800s. I think a lot of folks, because it was just highlighted this past year, thought that this was just a term that came out of the blue all of a sudden. But the fact is, every winter has a polar vortex develop. They're of varying strengths, but that's because the days get short, and ultimately the sun disappears in the Arctic, and then you cover the northern latitudes with snow, and so the whole thing feeds on itself, and this dome of warm cold air develops, and every now and then these lobes of it come down here and affect us.
All right, well,
but it's pretty well gone at this time of the year.
Yeah, we'll get to the forecast in a few minutes.
Yeah.
In addition, this weekend the supermoon.
Yes, three of them this summer. I have done my research on this, Gary.
I know you don't dabble in the moon usually, but this is a supermoon.
It is
supermoon, fullest early tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's a. They call it a perigee moon, is what the astronomers call it. But that's a moon that occurs when the trek of the moon is within 90% of its closest pass to Earth, what's called perigee. And so that's what we have going tomorrow. And in theory, the moon is about 30% brighter and a little larger, the disk is. But as they point out, it's pretty hard for anybody to gauge that. So that may be lost on most folks. And it remains to be seen whether we'll see it tomorrow. 6:25 tomorrow morning is the moment of the full moon. They say the one in August is going to be even more dramatic.
August 10th will be the biggest of the year, as the moon will be closest to Earth on that day.
Right.
I remember one years ago driving east on Route 30 out in Frankfurt, and I thought, oh, my God, we're colliding with the moon. It was so frigging big.
It was probably
went and looked for my Bible.
It was probably right on the horizon. You looked for the Bible.
Oh, yeah, because when that stuff happens, it's over.
Yeah. You figure this is something, there's some divine intervention involved here or something. But, you know, there's a optical illusion that occurs when the moon rises. And for whatever reason, and they're not quite sure why, the moon's disk appears very big to us when we're watching it on the horizon. And, you know, people have speculated, well, maybe that's because... I remember I got this question wrong on an exam I took one time, so I've never forgotten it. But the fact is, the disk of the moon is the same size, whether it's on the horizon or right overhead. It just seems bigger to us because we apparently have objects that we can relate it to, and so it seems like it's larger. But the way you can see that there's no change in the size of the thing is extend your arm and put the moon right on the top of your thumb as you're looking at it with your extended arm when it's on the horizon and it seems so big. And then later on, when it's overhead, do the same thing. Extend your arm and put the moon at the tip of your thumb, and you'll find out it is exactly the same size when you have something to compare it to, namely your thumb. So there's no real change. But
well, there's something to do this weekend.
There you go. I'll tell you, we have all kinds of...
And I was
fun
just going to do crystal. Crystal meth and call it a weekend.
There you go.
Now you've given me a reason to do something else.
You could be extending your arm and putting your thumb on the moon on top of your thumb. Yeah,
about the same. Right.
Sure.
Got it. And
yep.
Then you do a selfie. You know how people can make a picture where it looks like there's something on top, a building's on
right.
top of their head or whatever.
Right. One of the Weather Service folks sent me a picture of somebody doing that with the dome, the radar dome, at one of the Doppler radar sites around the country, and it looked pretty cool.
And your weather photos have been of what lately? It's been fairly quiet.
Oh,
what have you been showing?
We have great stuff. These towering cumulus. I've been getting a lot of monsoon shots from the southwest. You know, that's where these thunderstorms crop up. It starts usually in July sometime. And what happens is it, you know, gets so incredibly hot there that eventually this infusion of moisture comes up from the Gulf of California down in Mexico and also swings back from the Gulf of Mexico. And so the desert blooms because these thunderstorms develop. But then these are the things that produce the outflows that produce the haboobs, the dust storms. And so, you know, every year this is a standard feature of the summer climate in that region.
And Mark and Micah, I've got some haboobs to show you.
I know.
That'll get their attention.
Somebody wrote me, didn't like that term, but the fact is
you don't
widely used. Yeah.
That's from some meteorological convention.
Well, there are all kinds of terms, like hurricane, tornado. Those are, you know, those are Spanish origin terms. How about derecho? You know, there's another one. Or, Chinook wind. That's a snow-eating wind, and or the thun, which is the same thing over in Europe that comes
out
of the Alps. The thun.
Spell that, please.
That's F-O-E-H-N with an umlaut over the O, and it's pronounced thun.
That's when I go to a Cubs game, I park in the umlaut.
Do you?
Yeah, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
I got a little walk.
Good rates over there. Sure.
You come up with stuff every time. Just when you think you heard it all.
Yeah, it's like, Gary, this cluttered mind, I don't know. I'm just regurgitating what goes into it, and a lot comes out every now and then.
In that opening, I had a story about this woman who's a ventriloquist.
Yeah.
And you know what she does with the dummy. But there's another part to that that I thought, I've got to go to this event sometime. It is a ventriloquist convention in, I believe, Cincinnati. And... can you imagine what that's like?
Jeez. Everybody trying to throw their voices and make it look like somebody else is talking, huh?
Her dummy is called Slappy.
Slappy.
Slappy is based on a character from the Goosebumps children's book series.
Uh-huh.
A friend of hers bought her this ventriloquist dummy named Slappy. Anyway, I'll talk about other stuff concerning that after your segment, because I'm sure you'll be uncomfortable. You are of TV nature, and they have restrictions.
Wow, this is going to get that racy, huh?
She is striving to improve her abilities next week. And when did this come out? This may have already happened. Next week, she'll go to Cincinnati to attend the annual Vent Haven Convention, the world's largest event for ventriloquists.
Wow.
She said,
I didn't know there were events for ventriloquists.
You do
did
now.
You? Yeah.
I've never actually met another ventriloquist, and I don't want them to look at me as the woman who ruined ventriloquism because of what she does with her dummy. I was a vent in my youth. I have a dummy.
And no, then, what is a vent?
Locker. And then there's Bibble sitting here, too. But there are two things. But
Is the vent what you call the character that seems to be doing the talking?
Yes.
He's
a vent, or she's a vent.
I see.
You know it if you're in the business.
Yeah.
We all have that.
So,
lingo.
You did that? Did you really do that at some point?
My dummy is still in storage.
Really?
Yeah, I still have my dummy.
Wow. Where did you do that?
Bibble has
I've got Mortimer Snerd.
That's true.
For a while, he would bring to the Showcase studio and set it up in a chair.
Yeah.
Because we're on display. Might as well bring in all your stuff.
Sure.
The head started to fall off, and he was reluctant to bring it back.
It was $170 to fix it.
Wow.
Oh, you got it fixed?
Well, no. It's $170.
Where do you take it?
There's a doll hospital. And I don't have insurance for it.
Jeez.
Yeah. This Obamacare doesn't cover Mortimer Snerd.
There we go. Speaking of Mike McConnell.
They don't have a Blue Cross Blue Shield policy for it?
Where is the hospital?
Jeez. I don't know. It's in Naperville, I think. There was a doll hospital. Because I looked it up.
Why don't you take it to the American Girl store? They've got a hospital for those dolls. Maybe they'll...
Oh, maybe they would take the ventriloquist dummy.
Tell them it's an emergency. See if they'll take care of you. $170 to sew his head back.
Wow. Because he's like 40. I mean, he's 40 years old. I got him when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah, that's when I got mine.
I used to do my little shows at the holidays.
Isn't it interesting how there's a pattern to a lot of people on the radio?
Here, I talked to a puppet up in Milwaukee on the weather show.
You worked with a puppet.
See, I would, so I had my puppet moments too, but I wasn't doing ventriloquism though.
I should show you because I found the album that I used. There was an album with Edgar Bergen teaching you how to say the words. Because Mortimer Snerd was Edgar Bergen's other thing. And so there's a whole album how you, like, bees, you can't say a B.
No, bees are hard.
So you have to say a D.
Right.
So you have to say, like, there's a bumblebee over there.
There's a bumblebee. You're on the radio. I don't think we're going to be able to hold you to any standards.
Well, so was Edgar Bergen. It didn't hurt him.
That's true. He did ventriloquism on the radio. That Senior Wences was a lousy vent, too. If you ever saw him on Ed Sullivan, you could see his lips moving a mile away.
I know.
Sade.
Hello.
Now, when you guys did it, could we see your lips move?
No.
No, well, you were really good at it. Huh?
It's a professional.
Trade synchrony.
I guess. You know, I used to
drink a glass of water.
Yeah. I used to smoke. I was only 9.
And then you did ventriloquism.
Yes. So that's what we all did.
Well, you know, we had you heard about our parade float that lost its head, right?
Yeah, the WGN
TV.
Channel 9 float had a cameraman mounted on the front of its float.
I know.
And when the parade used to be on Dearborn, right?
I don't know where that happened. I wasn't on it
day it went underneath an L-track, and it decapitated the cameraman.
It did. And then they had to go through the parade with a decapitated cameraman.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Imagine the kid standing next to the float when that happened.
Mommy, what happened to him?
There's a head lying in the street.
Gee. I know. Probably left children behind in trauma.
When I was in Pittsburgh last week, there was something on the news about a furry convention. Mm-hmm. These people that dress up in furry animal costumes, they have a convention.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Gee.
There's a lot happening out there that...
I know that we're unaware of.
If you had any hair, Tom, it would curl.
It would curl it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to worry about that happening anytime soon. And so far away, Gary.
And they showed a clip of these people walking around the lobby of the hotel in these furry outfits, and I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with you?
Furry outfits, what are they? They have, animal skins?
Yeah, they're costumes like you'd see... A Disney character.
Right, like a bear.
Right, but they're just all furry. They're dogs and cats, and I don't know if they're famous characters that you would know, but here they are walking around the hotel lobby.
Wow.
I hope they boiled those sheets when they were done.
Boy,
that makes International Male Leather or House of Leather, whatever that convention is, that made that look normal when I saw these people.
I didn't
but
know
there are
was
so many fetishists. Yeah. Out there.
Yeah.
And they have conventions. But this ventriloquist convention, I'd love to attend that.
Yeah.
I'd like to broadcast from there.
That would be interesting.
Because you know you're going to see some crazy stuff.
Yeah. I didn't know there was one of those either.
Well, next year, I got to make some plans.
Yeah. It's amazing features haven't been done on that. I mean, that would seem like perfect material for a newscast, wouldn't it?
I would, if the Cincinnati people don't cover this, then they're missing something.
I'd rather
see that than... What's going on in some of these other countries, I'll be honest.
Right.
This is more pleasant.
I should think so.
So there's that convention.
Yeah.
There's the furry convention. And I'm sure there are a lot of other ones that you and I would look at and go, how do people get into this?
Yes.
And
well, you know, they always make fun of the Star Trek conventions and all, you know, and the people that dress up. And I don't know, as an avid Trekkie, I wouldn't go to the convention.
Wait, you're a Trekkie?
Oh, I love Star Trek. Didn't you? I mean,
I never got into it, I'll be
really?
Honest.
Really? Is that right, Gary?
I know you and I are totally into time travel. And
right, parallel universes.
Universes and all that.
Sure.
But I really think that's possible. This is all science fiction that you're dealing with.
You know what, though? It's not really. When you think about it, I mean, like the phones we use and all, they claim that those came from those, the flip phones that they used on the Star Trek series. There was a documentary that was done by Shatner where he talked to all the captains from all the various versions of the Star Trek series. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. They all had similar stories. All had broken marriages. They were talking about the work it takes to put these series together and how, you know, they go to work at 6 o'clock on Monday morning, and if they get home at, 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and they've worked the whole time cutting one of these series, and they're so dead tired that they go to bed and all, and every one of them had a marriage that had failed during this, and it was quite interesting. Shatner for a long time used to debunk the fact that he had been Captain Kirk.
What are you connecting here as far as that goes, that those people were under some bad juju?
No, I think...
Because they were dabbling with science fiction?
No, I don't think it's that at all. What they were saying was, how demanding these episodic television series are to produce. But they were also commenting that they... You know, Shatner said, I used to be embarrassed by the fact that, I was Captain Kirk. He said, here I had done Shakespearean, plays on Broadway and all, and I wanted to be remembered for my theatrical work there. And I knew, as this thing took off, that what was going to be on my gravestone was that he was Captain Kirk.
Yeah,
and he was talking to Patrick Stewart about it, who said, I used to be bothered by that, too. But he said some guy came up to him and said, from NASA... And said, I got into science because I watched you guys.
And my marriage went down the drain, too.
Right.
They're all with bad marriages.
Yeah. Every one of them, at least that they talked to, it had real issues running their family lives with the demanding schedule.
Of course, they're sleeping all the time. The wife goes, come on, let's go do something.
Right.
I'm a human being, damn it. I'm not superhuman like I play.
Yeah. Beam yourself where you want to go, and just so, yeah. I just thought it was very interesting. And what they said was that people had come up to them that had followed this show, Real Trekkies, and a lot of them were scientists and all, who said, watching this show got me interested in science. And then they started talking to people who had developed, things like the flip telephone, or the telephones that we used. And a lot of them said some of these ideas originated with Star Trek and some of the equipment they had on the show.
I'm inventing the mobile phone, damn it. Don't bother me.
Right.
Oh, let's go to the zoo or something. Hey, you haven't heard of Jim Ramsey, I Love Chicago piece in a while.
No. I was talking to Jim the other day when he was in here, and I said, I was talking to Gary, and I said, how'd it go with Jim? And Gary said, you want to hear one of these things? And he says, wow. He says, Gary really works on those things. I said, yes, he does.
Well, we
I know.
Need some kind of image burnishing in the city, and I think we've got to roll Mr. Ramsey out ASAP. Here's one.
Okay.
You're jogging along Chicago's magnificent lakefront after a thunderstorm when the air is supercharged with ions and could not be fresher. Up ahead, the Field Museum, the Shedd Aquarium, the Planetarium, and Soldier Field with its conflicting architecture. The old stately columns cupping the new glass insert as if a 500-pound man is trying to squeeze into a pair of skinny jeans. And how many big cities can boast that they have beaches right downtown? Well, Chicago can. But don't worry, your frizzy little head, if it gets too hot, the police will close the beaches, but Lord knows the last place you want to be is at the beach when it's 95 degrees. Is baseball something you might be interested in? How about heading over to Wrigley Field, the 100-year-old ballpark where in 2014 you can make water just like people did in 1914 in a metal trough? I haven't been in the women's bathroom, so I can only imagine it was a retro feel also. And when you want to step back into the 21st century, check out Chicago's vibrant gay scene, like the Ram Bookstore, or the Bars Touche, and Jackhammer's, or the historic Bijou Theater. And for your lederhosen enthusiasts, Don't forget Chicago hosts International Mr. Leather every Memorial Day weekend. You're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. You, my friend, are in the third largest city in America. Put that in your electronic cigarette and smoke it. I'm Jim Ramsey, and I approve.
This, you know, that is...
That's going to sell it to the people who are a little hesitant right now.
Oh, yeah. Jim brings that to life, doesn't he? He does that so... I told him, you're the best straight guy in the business. It's just amazing.
He's got, as we say, the pipes for
My word, isn't that the truth?
Well, he's worked on that for many years with the cartons of cigarettes and the the pots of coffee every day. I got this text at 312-521-8600. Don't miss Exotica Convention in Rosemont this weekend. See, there are all these conventions you and I and John Doe don't know about, but they're out there.
It's
I don't know what this
news.
Is.
In my news. It was going to be in my next newscast.
Okay, well.
Leslie knew about it. Connick.
You're not on a time crunch today, right?
No.
Yeah.
Premature Exotica.
And by the way, Exotica spelled with three X's.
Three X's?
Oh, wow. You gotta love it.
That's good marketing.
Jeez. And what, pray tell, do they put on display at these things? Can you even say these?
It's three X's.
Yeah.
100 exhibitors will be on hand with products ranging from the wild to the mild. There will also be appearances by famous porn stars, including Ron Jeremy.
Oh, God. Yeah, That's your snorkel buddy.
It's where I came to a conclusion, and I was, as much as I think some people might go, you are worrying too much about germs and stuff, quickly tell the story again. In Hawaii, I'm sitting by the pool, I'm watching people rent snorkels, and I had this thought, do they boil those after each use? Because think about it, they're renting snorkels, and that piece goes in your mouth.
I know.
And as I'm thinking that, this was written for me. Ron Jeremy is in line to get a snorkel. And that was the end of that discussion. I don't need to rent a snorkel after that. Because if you know Ron Jeremy's work, talk about a snorkel.
Who knows where that's been? And who knows where it's been?
Yeah, he had his own.
Well, there you have it. You got the supermoon. You got a lot of supermoons that...
Yeah.
The Exotica Convention in Rosemont.
I guess.
See, this is a busy weekend here.
Exhibitions and exhibitionists.
Things on a stick in Grant Park and in Rosemont.
Oh, gee.
It's all that you can possibly handle. So I'm noticing the day started off beautifully, clear, sunny day, and I looked out the window of the seventh floor here at the Tribune Tower, and it's all clouded over and somewhat ominous, Tom.
You know what? I just unplugged my earpiece. I didn't realize this could unplug, so I missed your last three words. But you're talking about the rain that's developing.
Is
yeah,
the rain
there
coming?
Is. It's raining all through the northern suburbs right now, or good parts of it. And so we'll see some scattered showers. No lightning with this yet. But there may be thunderstorms coming later tonight. And tomorrow, we're going to get these bands of thunderstorms. They won't rain all day, but when they come through, they could be quite something, because we've got over 2 inches of water in the atmosphere. I've never known an atmosphere that has that kind of water that doesn't do something out of the ordinary with it in the way of flooding or active thunderstorms. And we also have a jet stream cutting through here, so we're out looking for severe weather tomorrow and tomorrow night. I think the best chance of severe weather is probably in the latter portion of the day or tomorrow night sometime, but it looks like during the morning we could have some active showers and thunderstorms coming through, and that's as the humidity is gushing in here. So we'll have 70-degree dew points by noon, and that's the stuff that really starts feeling humid. So
but
that
then
could be...
next week, this whole crazy-ass, the polar vortex is coming back.
Yeah, this unseasonably. One thing, it's moving right along. And, I really think that typhoon kind of set the precedent for this, or, set up set the foundation for this thing to come. Because what happens, whenever you put a tropical cyclone in the atmosphere, there's just so much energy that these storms deal with that they buckle jet streams when they start moving up into regions where the jet streams occurred. They form in areas where there are no jet streams. But, as they move north and carry all this latent heat energy with them, they buckle the jet. And when you buckle the jet in one place in the hemisphere, it immediately buckles everywhere else. So you set up some really interesting reactions around the planet. And I think this highly wavy jet stream is what's bringing this chunk of cool air down on Monday afternoon, Tuesday. And probably by Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be pulling out of it pretty quickly. So I think by the end of the week, we'll be up around 80 again.
All right.
So it's a quick hit.
All right, Tom, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Gary, you too, and Jim will be with you. I'm going up to Alaska next week, so I...
Oh, thanks for the warning, because that's a different muscle.
I know. I thought I'd tell you that. You'll have a whole new crop of Chicago, Visit Chicago
Yes, he's
episodes.
On all next week.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct,
okay.
Yes.
I got to start writing.
You're
well,
have
there's all kinds of new material.
There is.
I don't have to do anything but open the paper and find out what the hell's going on in this little city.
Gary, Jim pulls that off wonderfully, but those are well written. They really are.
Well, Tom, thank you. You don't have to say that.
I mean it. Hey, Gary, have a good weekend.
You too. Have a good trip.
See you. Bye bye.
Tom Skilling, the ace weather forecaster of Chicago and the United States.
Well, he's traveling a lot.
How many weeks does he get?
He's been.
I mean,
this is not usual for a Tom Skilling. Even in the,
I think
the
he realized that, after he signed that mega contract. What am I doing? I got to get a lot of vacation because I'm going to be here for the next 10 years.
Well considering he puts in 12-hour days.
Yeah, yesterday
just about every day.
Yeah. You asked him. He gets there at 11:30. He left at 12:45
in the morning.
Oh, 14. Whatever.
I mean, I know he's not lifting boxes, but that's still a long day.
Long. If it was stretched out hourly, like I said, he's making $3 an hour.
Jeez.
So he deserves it. And Mr. Ramsey brings something else to the program, which is...
I do.
Like what?
What?
Just give up. That's the best way to go. No need to overaccelerate. I took a ride in my friend's new Tesla.
Oh, was that today?
Last night.
Neat.
Went out on the city.
Where?
In the Tesla. Where? Doesn't matter.
No, I mean like where you can actually like hit the gas.
Open it up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, we were just on your side streets. But yeah. I didn't care about... I've been in a Tesla before, and it's very fast. I wanted to see the electronics because Tesla has internet radio in it already. The whole center panel, it's a 17-inch screen. Think about that in your car. The whole center panel is a screen.
Most people don't have that on their home computers.
That's what I said when I got in. This is bigger than my screen in my home.
So no dials at all then?
It's all panels. Yeah, wow. There's no... Right, it's all on the panel.
Even for your air conditioner?
Everything. Wow. There's no knobs.
No
knobs.
Are
they still silent? Is it a pretty silent ride?
Yeah, very quiet. And here's what I love about this Elon Musk beyond everything else. So when he charges it at night, plugs it in, they set up the charger and the cord and all that stuff and the electric. The charger will not start until after midnight because electricity is cheaper after midnight. So it's on a timer, doesn't start charging until then. And then when it's done charging fully, it shuts off automatically. So you're not paying any more than you need to pay.
So you just have to remember to pull the plug out.
That's all.
Yeah.
And I hope you do that.
Right.
It's automatic. And I think he said he gets about 230 miles per charge.
Per watt?
Per watt?
Is that the way they do it?
Per watt, yeah. But yeah, it couldn't be any quieter.
Wow. Is it a nice ride?
Oh,
smooth?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful
well, and
car.
Now word is that they're going to come up with a model that will be really affordable, like somewhere in the $35,000 range. I'm considering now they're closer to, $200,000, something like that.
Are they that expensive?
125, I think.
100, yeah. Oh, is it? Okay, I thought they were.
So what is it? Is it a two-door? Or, I mean, a two-seater? What is it?
No, it's got a big back seat.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not just like a sports car, then.
No. A lot of leg room. Beautiful. Beautiful
Sweet.
Car.
What's the design? Is it like a sleek kind of design?
Yeah, very sleek. I mean, when you drive past people, they look.
Do you know, as you're in it, can you tell the difference in the drive, in the ride?
Well, it's pretty smooth. Yeah, it's again, this Elon Musk, he's helping NASA send rockets. This guy's got it all going on. He's only about 40, right?
Yeah,
he's
young,
very
right?
young.
Yeah.
Well, I got a chubby just driving around in this thing.
But the chubby, you drive it?
He said I didn't feel comfortable. I said next time because he just got it a few weeks ago.
Okay? Welcome, Mr. Meyer.
Yeah, thank you.
Please touch.
Enjoy your ride.
Doesn't have a key, right?
But to see key, I don't know. I think he just thought something and the door opened. Really, that's how advanced this car is. But the part that I really wanted to see was the internet radio right on the dash there. And I'm thinking, okay, I know this is not affordable for most of us, but in the next couple of years, once it starts in one and they go, hey, we got to get that because it's going to be standard, if we can put satellite.
Did he turn it on?
Yeah.
So did you get on the stream? Huh?
Did you put, because you
stream.
Could listen to yourself. Did
I
you hear yourself?
Listening to myself on the street.
You did. How cool.
It was like being in a movie.
So is it easy to do it? Like to find the app and everything?
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. It's all touchscreen.
How funny.
Yeah. The Jetsons, have arrived.
Yeah. And the doors open normally, or is it like one of those?
There's
gull wings? No.
There's a hologram that gets out and opens the door for you and shuts it for you.
And does he have any idea how much he's going to save on gas?
Or
does he care?
I don't think he cares.
Right.
If
you can spend $125,000 on a car, you're not worried about the 307 or 312.
Is part of it, but it's a Tesla. And
right.
If you can get one of those.
Does he buy it in Chicago?
Yeah,
there's a Tesla dealer here.
Yeah. You have to order it though. They don't have them. They have a few to test drive, but you have to order it and then you get it.
Cause I've seen one in the western burbs around the Oak Brook area. And
yeah.
I want to say that's where
is it Naperville?
Or is that
in Naperville? Somewhere out west, yeah.
Is it a distinct design? Can you tell? Can you like, oh, wow?
It's very sleek. It kind of reminds me of the Aston Martin look.
Oh.
That kind of very Batmobile-ish
look. What color was it?
Black.
Nice.
I love black cars.
Yeah. And when you open the glove box, there's a lightsaber in there just in case you need it.
Exactly.
Well, there was a story on 60 Minutes about the Lamborghini. And those cars are built to order, and they said they can get any color you want. Any color you want. He said, from the Lamborghini's place said, that we've even matched it to women's purses. They brought in their purse, and we've matched the color to their purse.
Sweet.
I'm going to bring my purse in and my soft pretzel and get it to match. You know what color, or what if I had that choice, I'd go with a tropical fish color. Some of these tropical fish,
really cool,
the colors are, if you've ever seen tropical fish, they're unbelievable.
They look pretend.
Right. I want to bring a tropical fish in. I want it this color.
Match that. And they have no robots in the
all handmade
Lamborghini. It's all handmade. Yep.
That's about $250,000,
right? Yeah,
it's
crazy. And they even said they said they noticed how they went into the factory that all the men were working on the body of the car, and the women were all working on the interior, because he said the men don't have the precision,
and they got smaller hands. The women have. That's why.
Well, and the children do the electronics because that requires the tiniest hands.
Yeah, so they can get right in there and screw those things.
But I mean, they literally just make them to order. It's sort of like going to Portillo's and getting a beef.
Just like that. It's just like going to Portillo's.
You see the thing getting made right in front of you.
Doesn't smell as good.
No. All right, I don't have a Tesla to give away, but on Monday, there will be a representative from Verizon in, right, Craig? And he's going to give away at least one smartphone and one Bluetooth device, maybe some more. What else is he going to bring, Craig?
He has several other Bluetooth devices and actually car connectors, so you can put your smartphone through your speakers in your car. So he'll give away tons of those.
That's on Monday at what time?
3:30 they'll be here, but we can leave them till whenever we need them.
So you are totally you are the future now. You're giving the future away.
I am. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a start. Giving one away, then maybe many more. I'm trying to figure out how we can do that on a regular basis, and maybe on Monday I'll establish a relationship with this person that will allow us to do that. The broadcast on the 22nd floor is going to happen. I will have details on that in the days ahead. It will be in a couple of weeks. I thought it would be today, although I'm kind of glad it wasn't today, because like I said to Tom, the sky is ominous.
Yeah, it could start to drizzle.
And we don't want that. We want to be up there dry as a bone.
Will they be cooking in the...
I think we're going to have some refreshments. We cannot have liquor because of some deal that was put into place after previous management.
Yeah.
They said no more of that.
How about card games?
Card games and cigars?
Interns allowed? Are interns allowed?
How about elevator rides?
Yeah. How about a submarine ride if you want that? You got to believe, and I do, that this Colonel McCormick, who was the guy that started the Tribune newspaper, he seemed like the kind of cowboy that would be doing all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the people now act like this is some kind of sacred ground.
But it wasn't the people here. It was the people outside who were
right.
mad that they were somehow denigrating the image
right.
of the place. And now they're selling it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's just a big old paneled office. It's not that special. Who cares? But, yeah, there was some brouhaha a few years ago that the then managers of the place were playing cards and smoking cigars in this room here.
Yeah.
So?
So? I can only imagine what the colonel did.
Oh,
that guy?
Please. Yeah. What was the game in stripes that Bill Murray was doing with the woman on the...
Spatula treatment?
Spatula treatment. You know that was going on there.
Well, didn't you say that there's some kind of... tunnels out of here, too, or something?
Yeah, in his office, I guess there are passages so he could get the hell out. I don't know if they say his old lady was showing up or something.
Oh, was one of those?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought
I'm
it was...
just thinking, why would he need a secret passageway? Wasn't this in the 19...
Well, I think he was...
20s.
20s.
But he was afraid of his power because he was a political lightning rod. He was very conservative, and so he's afraid that his enemies are going to...
There's a secret elevator on this floor. And I think some of the engineers have access to
it. On the floor we're on right now.
Right. It's kind of tucked way back behind engineering.
There are so many weird panels just in the radio station alone. You would think, well, that's just a wall. And then you'd press on it, it'd open up, and that went back 50 feet. They're all over the place in this building.
Especially before they rented the thing out to the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Every wall was some weird kind of panel that went somewhere.
And
Marlene had half of them with all her spike hats.
Spike hats and Uncle Bobby coffee mugs.
And the Chicago Bird mascot.
That puppet that they gave away.
His name's Chicago. Go figure.
Right?
Marlene is the, what's her title officially? She's
promotions.
In the promotion department and handles all of the remote broadcasts and things like that. And any of the tchotchkes that the station gives out.
You want a GN keychain? Call Marley.
Whatever you need in that department, she's got it. But you're right. She would say, okay, follow me. And then she'd hit a panel on a wall, and it opened up, and there were all of these rain hats and ladybug wristwatches.
It was crazy.
Only she knew where they were, though.
Oh, yeah. She knows where everybody's buried here.
Because she's been here 40-some years.
She's probably buried half of them.
And more to bury. More to come. 312-521-8600. Kathy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, have you on speaker. I'm pulling my laundry in.
Yes.
No, I air dry it.
Yes, that's how I do it. After I do a how's your father.
Oh, Gary.
You should always give it a little airing.
You should.
Yeah.
I love you.
It's the freshness.
It's Reiki Yoga Kathy. Anyway, calling you. I didn't want to be on the air because I'm shy, but I wanted to let you know that there are lots of different raffles to get a Tesla. Well, not to get one, but to be in the running for one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if you just Google it. I know there's one from a solar thing, and then there's one from the Humane Society. My brother-in-law's really, he wanted one, but it's a little too expensive, so he's,
These raffles are ongoing?
Well, the one I just Googled it when you started talking about it again. The one for the solar place is, I think, in October. This animal, the Humane Society one, is going to be in September.
Mm-hmm. And so, you buy a ticket or tickets,
yeah, it's
right?
Like yeah, like $100 for a ticket, and yeah.
Okay,
so,
that's how I won my car.
I know.
One ticket,
so,
it was $100. I won this car 20-some years ago. I still have it.
Yeah, so.
Feeling lucky? Punk? I'm feeling lucky.
No, I need to get my laundry in, though.
All right, Kath.
Fort Rains.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do you think, though, you've used up your raffle car-winning mojo because you've already won it once?
I don't categorize it. Leslie, you okay?
Excuse me.
She has a throat.
Man.
Yes. I don't put it in categories. I just go, it's just good luck. It's
overall.
Overall.
An umbrella.
And I guess if I look the whole process of the last 25, 30 years. Seems to be still going.
Yeah.
I know some people would interpret it differently, but all told, no.
No, but I thought you're winning of a car luck. You can't.
Well, I don't separate it. I just think that's okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm pushed back in the catalog of who gets to win.
Right.
But hey, you don't know.
But if you want a second car, wow.
I mean, that's one thing
to win it once, but if you were to win a car a second time, and at the time, the car you won, was that a nice, I mean, now it's 20 years old, but at the time, was it a cutting edge car?
Honda Del Sol. They don't even make them anymore.
Right.
Two seater.
Nice. So that was
a nice car.
It wasn't like you got a big Buick or something. It was a nice, cool car.
A car is a car.
No, but I mean, it was a cool.
Yeah, it was a great car. And I got to order it, so I got the color I wanted and everything.
Cause the Del Sol was an expensive in the Honda line.
It's a little sports car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't just some
run of the mill. And I still have it. That's the beauty of it.
How many miles?
105,000. It's 20. I got it in 92.
I know a friend of mine who had over on a Honda, those things, 200,000 miles.
Yeah.
Those things are
That's why we're...
250 on my Saturn.
Really? 250?
That's why we're chasing the Japanese because... And remember, if you're of a certain age, when Japanese products were considered... Made in Japan was
they were
cheap.
Junk.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what we underestimated when we let them come in with the subcompact cars back in the 70s, because the big three thought they owned it forever. They let them come in with those cars. That's all they needed. They got their foot in the door. Here we sit.
Well, that's what destroyed the television industry, too, you know, because most of the major TV companies at the beginning were Zenith here in Chicago and RCA and GE. And then when they, in the 70s, just like that, when they let in all the European and Asian
Panasonic,
Sony, blah blah blah,
Samsung,
they dumped them in. They cut the prices in half. Everybody was starting to buy those, and the American couldn't.
We did not make one VCR in this country.
No,
never made one VCR. I don't think we ever made one.
Wow.
Well,
and now turn to China. And with that, I just was looking up Tesla and contests. Mm-hmm. This group has put out a $10,000 reward for anyone who can hack a Tesla. It was a group out of Beijing at a convention said if you're tech savvy enough and you can hack a Tesla.
Hack it how?
What computer do you mean? Hack the computer. They'll pay you $10,000. Because Tesla has put so many safeguards into the system to avoid that sort of thing. Well, because you don't want someone hacking into your car and driving it for you, or messing with it.
I didn't pay attention to this, but I don't think my friend had a key. I think
that's why I asked.
I think he just looked at the car and did an eye print, and it opened.
Well, so in other words, is the whole car run by a computer?
Yeah, it looks pretty much like it's a total computer.
Because how else would it work? Right.
Right. But there was nothing of the standard car that we think of in this car, as far as knobs and all that. This was like being in a little spaceship.
Being called Kit?
Drive to the restaurant.
And how long is the extension cord? Like if I wanted to charge it at the same time,
two miles.
All right,
is it retractable?
Right, you just jack it and it goes in like a vacuum cleaner. But I like that other touch of it doesn't kick in when you plug it in until after midnight because electricity is cheaper.
That's nice.
This guy's brilliant.
So I wonder, I will be paying for my gas, in quotes, on my electric bill. Right? I will never stop at a gas station anymore.
Right.
So now whenever I pay,
my
electricity from my home now becomes my gas station. Right?
I asked him what his electric bill has been. He hasn't had it long enough to know for a month, but he's guesstimating it's going to be about $10 a month.
$10 a month?
Yeah.
More?
Yeah.
That's all?
That's what he said. Now he's going to tell me, but.
$10 a month?
Think about that.
It's 50 every time I stop for 7 gallons.
What's cooler still is if you can run the extension cord and have your neighbor pay for it.
Right.
Plug it into their house.
Exactly. See if you can get away with that for a while. When their window's left open. Now, what the hell is this?
We have exterior outlets on our house, a couple of them.
I know Bibble attaches his hose to the neighbor's house.
Right, and I don't use that.
Waters his lawn.
I haven't used water for 15 years. I haven't gotten a water bill in 15 years.
They got one of those, they're called, snake hoses?
Yeah, the DAP thing, yeah.
Yeah, that just folds right up when you're not using it.
Although I tell you, just like Steve Bertrand had predicted.
He's leaving the show?
No.
What?
No. He said, because I said when I just got those, he said he had those too, but he said they do tend to tear easily. And I bought four of 25 footers so I can have, a long extension.
Longer hose.
And two of them have already torn.
After how many uses?
What the heck?
Couple tree?
Got them at the beginning of the spring.
So how much are they a piece?
They're like 14, 15. Well, no, the blue one was 15. The black one was 20. And of course,
because of the color?
Yeah. That's the only difference.
This is amazing.
Yeah. And I, of course, got the black one.
Because you got to have a tricked hose.
Well, the blue one, I mean, it wouldn't match with the house.
Wrapping it around the house.
Well, no.
Just using it and putting it back in the garage.
Well, no, no. I have it outside on the little...
Reel?
So part of your ornamentation.
Yeah, I mean, in the backyard, it's against the house, and it's got the brick with the red and the different things. So to have a blue or a green...
What color is your BVM?
My BVM? I don't even know what that is.
Blessed Virgin Mary in the band show.
She should be wearing blue. Yeah.
I have a black one because I got it from Polk Brothers. I have a black BVM because it looks nice with the house.
They had them right next to him?
Yes, I went with that.
Well, you know, Mary was probably dark-skinned, as was Jesus.
I agree.
I mean, let's be honest. He was born in the Middle East. How many wasps are there? I mean, let's be honest.
I'm proud to have my BVM, BVM.
He would have been a Slumdog Millionaire.
He's wandering now. He's wandered out there. He wants to test the waters. He's trying to walk on them. He's not going to be able
to. It's the stream. It's the stream. I walk on the stream.
312-521-8600. This text came in. It says, please tell me that your Del Sol has a manual transmission. No, it's automatic. I don't want to have a manual transmission driving in the city.
I don't even know how to drive. Do you know how to drive one?
I do.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I learned when I worked construction. And I learned on the day when the guy that usually drove called in sick. They go, okay, go do this. And I get in the truck, and it's all manual. And I had watched him enough for a few weeks, and I just ground those gears through the development for the first hour, and then I got up to speed. But, yeah, I can
little
drive a stick.
Little whiplash getting into one.
Yeah, exactly.
I never even tried.
No?
It looks so scary.
There's really? Not much manual transmission out there.
No.
But in a smaller car, your manual transmission's going to give you that much more power. So in those four cylinders, having the manual makes them zippier and more fun.
Yeah, but in the city, all you'd be doing is shifting.
Aren't you always shifting?
Yeah.
Stink when you're in stop and go.
I could see, Leslie, you can drive a stick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have gone down a man... point or 10 right there.
I mean, yeah, I could say. I know she could.
But why do you need to know? Because how many cars are manual?
Not. I mean,
very few.
But over the last 25 years, certainly there were models that you could get.
Yeah,
now
but overall.
No.
Come on.
Because I got to say, I've always felt safer in a stick because, like in the snow and stuff, you seem like you have much better control over the car and your ability to shift into the proper gear for whatever.
It's too much effort, though. You're always...
You don't want him shifting. He's barely paying attention
right, exactly.
to everything else.
I just like putting it in drive, and I'll worry about it when I'm done.
You have to get the green one for $20. It still works for us, according to this text. Green snake.
Oh, really? Okay.
Maybe those hoses have a class action suit, I think.
Ah. Well, one time I literally had it. One of the four that I bought lasted literally 2 days. And I used it maybe twice. And then the third time I turned it on, and there's water flying out the side. I'm like, what the heck happened?
Were you dragging it down
no,
a driveway or
not
something?
Not at all.
No.
No, and where it ripped was where the metal connector was. So that's got to be a flaw. It wasn't somewhere in the middle where it was dragging, like you would say.
Hmm.
So
I get home yesterday, and I look in the mail, and I have this.
Now what'd you get?
Dear friend, the nativity scene is a beautiful and essential part of Christmas celebrations, evoking a wonderful sense of joy and hope during the holiday season. And over the years, the captivating artwork, and it is a network, of Thomas Kinkade has introduced us to some of the most inspiring creations one could ever hope to own.
You're welcome.
Thomas Kinkade inspires a collection that captures the night Jesus was born in a uniquely beautiful presentation combining intricate three-dimensional sculptures within a festive holiday garland.
Nice.
Take a look at the enclosed brochure, and I think you'll be just as impressed as I was when I first saw it, introducing the illuminated Nativity Garland Collection.
You're welcome.
About every other day, and this was solved yesterday, this mystery. I was getting all of these mailers for Thomas Kinkade stuff, and I only remember buying the calendar for cash in Pennsylvania. How would they know how to nail me on more Thomas Kinkade? And then Bibble reveals that he had sent me a Thomas Kinkade tree for Christmas a few years ago and to my home, and now they know.
They know.
Or they think they know.
Well, they're obviously direct mailing you and direct marketing you.
So is the garland as lovely as they say?
Here's a picture if you want to take a look. It's very, that Kinkade style is very unique.
Yeah.
I know it's schlocky, and I don't get all of it, the stuff.
Would you say he's the painter of light or something?
Well, with that, yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering. If it's a nativity set, you can't have the little gas lights on the street.
Well, that's,
yeah. he wasn't born in a little cottage in Vermont.
And a 1932 Studebaker.
Yeah, with a kerosene lamp in the window.
Motoring down the street, the first car to go down the freshly laid snow.
Yeah.
Jill.
Yeah, Gary, you just brought up the most amazing memory. When I was little, we were in the supermarket, and I saw a very big chocolate Santa. And I asked my dad, is Santa black? Because I didn't know. I was, of course, very little, and my father, who's not racist, and we were in public, he just went with yes. And I just assumed that Santa was African-American, and I was very disappointed when I saw the white Santa at the mall in the suburbs. You know, I was kind of bummed. And I just, when you mentioned the Virgin Mary statue, and I know you have a baby Jesus, it was just a charming memory that you conjured.
Well,
it was...
I'm glad to draw that up in July. It's Christmas in July, apparently.
It's Christmas, absolutely.
And that goes with my black Polk brother Santa.
Right. And I just, why not? Santa, of course, he absolutely can be black. And I just thought it was really cute and charming. And you just make me laugh every day, Gare.
Well, Jill, I'm happy to do it. Thank you. Have a good
You're
weekend.
The best.
Thank you.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
I have a black Santa ornament on our tree. You know, they sell the Hallmark.
At the risk of wandering out into the middle of the thin ice, in predominantly black neighborhoods at stores where they have a Santa, is that a black or white Santa?
That's a good question.
Thank you for letting me ask it. And now on to the phones.
I do believe it's usually a person of color.
Yeah.
Really? Well, it should be.
We don't know that because we all live in the Vanilla Village. But why would it be
I've driven Stony Island a couple of times.
Didn't Kincaid die from an alcoholic stupor or OD or its effects? There was some...
He did die. We know that.
Yeah.
And he died young.
Yeah, he's in his mid-50s.
Some question as to how he died.
There was at least a drug hint. I don't think it was ever, you know, confirmed or not, but I know that.
But the hospital where he went was beautifully lit, had the gas lights, and the ambulance was from 1945 that took him there.
That's why it took him 25 minutes to get to the hospital.
Oops. I love when you see these movies. What happened?
Yeah, it was an OD.
It was an OD officially.
Acute ethanol and diazepam intoxication.
Ethanol.
And you see this work this guy does, and you think, this guy's living in this ideal atmosphere of how life is in his head, and apparently he can live that life because of the money he's made, and he dies of an OD.
Not only that, but there was a weird personal life that he had a wife, but there was also another girlfriend. There was a whole weird...
Yeah.
Because the girlfriend was claiming that she should get...
The estate?
So there was a whole weird thing going on. So he was not as idyllic as his paintings were, which is often the case.
Think of how screwed up he'd be if he didn't have an outlet like that, though.
Yeah, right.
Well, who did get the estate? Did they ever publish that?
I just remember at the beginning there was kind of a fight over who was going to get it because there were some weird personal things going on.
Okay.
Well, you know what? You talk about Christmas in July. First of all, last weekend on the Hallmark Channel, all weekend long, Christmas movies.
And it is starting after the 4th of July.
And this weekend, I got a push email there, because we buy these Christmas ornaments from Hallmark, all those keepsake ornaments and stuff. And this weekend, they are debuting the 2014 line. This weekend. You can go to a Hallmark store
It used to be right after Labor Day, but now they've pushed it to right after the 4th of July.
Yeah.
They want to get 6 months out of the season, and they are doing it.
And there's some that you could buy online, because a lot of times we've gone to the store in October when you start to sort of get into the mood, and they're already sold out.
It's crazy.
It's like, wait a minute, Christmas isn't for 2 months.
Now, that one person said, buy the green snake hose, because it's better. This one says, the green ones are just as weak. I had one bust the first time I used it.
See?
All right. So that's the wrap on those things. Bertrand's been stung. You've been stung.
Yeah, I would not. I'm back to my good old rubber hose.
That's what she said.
My big black rubber hose. Yeah. It has never failed me up to this point.
It's sophomoric Friday that you come to love. It's their only weekend.
Yeah.
Right. It's done.
It's called their big weekend because it's the only one. And the top of the hour will be identified now by somebody. I got two producers, but might not. I need a third one.
Spartan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll just sit and wait. Got plenty of time.
It's the top of the hour.
Well, close enough.
Hey, wave your hands in the air. Wave your hands in the air like you just don't care.
That's the original top of the hour indicator.
Vintage.
A note to control room, top of the hour, just have that ready. Not that one, the other one. Okay. Kreef is not firing today. He's the combo producer.
Craig Keith.
Craig and Keith.
Kreef.
Do you have to pay taxes when you win a car? Yes, you do. I did pay taxes as if it were income. I had to fill out the forms, I believe, before I left the event.
Up front?
No, but I had to pay the taxes.
At the end of the year, whatever?
Whenever I had to pay them, I paid them. But I still got a brand new car for a lot less than it would have cost me, and I still have it. I got 20-some years out of this car.
I would say you've more than got your money's worth on that car.
And I had Collision Centers of America repainted a couple years ago. Looks brand new.
Does it run good?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
100,000 miles.
100 and some, more than 100,000. But that's, when you think about that over 22 years.
Yeah, you don't really drive that car a lot, then.
No. I have a car cover. I always thought when
I remember the car
cover. The first
cover.
Time I went to California and I saw these cars and the driver with covers on them, I didn't get it. It was a very California thing because of these trees and stuff. And I never, why would you put it? And then I got a car and I went, I'm going to get a car cover.
So did you have it before you
had
it?
It's in an interior
in
garage.
Yeah,
but it still gets dusty then.
Yeah. But then I'm a duster.
Oh.
They got the duster.
Oh, that big California duster
thing.
I thought you had another car you were going to tell us about.
If I had a duster in mint condition. So if it's only dusty, you don't need to get it washed. You just dust it off.
Is it a pain to take the thing on and put it off? Is it?
No. No. Do it in about 90 seconds.
Oh. Where do you hook it? Do you just hook it around?
Because the you can tell. You got, well, the front of the cover. Car cover talk at 404-312-521-8600.
Very relatable.
Future. Hall of Fame. The front of the cover has the name of the car on it, so you know that's the front. Because otherwise, when you take it out of the trunk.
Yeah.
But then.
What's its name? Lenny.
Lenny. My car, Lenny.
Sonny.
And then you've got the pockets for the mirrors, so those go over the mirror, so that kind of.
You could tell.
Clamps it all down, yeah.
Well, you have some kind of leather.
You ever had a nose bra?
I beg your pardon?
I do. That's what I have.
Yeah, that's what she's got, some leather.
I got a nose bra.
That's a leather thing, right?
Yeah.
It's under your car. Now, what
I always thought that was, what was that for? And then I got one for my Saab, because when you think about it, the front of the car with rocks and everything always ends up chipped. You get the nose bra.
So that's what that is?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you do it, because it would get, because
it was starting to chip like crazy.
Yeah, bug guts and stuff.
Yep.
And it's leather, right, or something?
Yeah.
Or some kind of vinyl or something?
You're intrigued now, huh?
I've never, because I've
You want to touch my, maybe my nose bra?
Maybe we'll go over to the Pep Boys and load up on some stuff.
I can unhook her nose bra pretty quickly.
You could.
Still have that one, the one hand.
Sure you do.
The technique. Now, what is it called? A nose bra?
Nose bra.
Now, can any car get that? Can I get that? Or do you
have to? If you go
from the manufacturer.
On the internet, you can get anything for any car.
How much do you want to pay?
That's no matter what you want.
That thing.
Anything is made for your car somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know if I, but I mean, like, I did that come, so you had to buy that? It didn't come with it.
That's an aftermarket thing, yeah. Gary, sounds like you and Paul Bryan need to do a remote. Fantastic. And then I grilled some salmon on the manifold after I got home, and it was delicious. Yeah, it's gear talk. We're gearheads.
Top Gear.
Hey, you pick a topic. I'm open.
It's a Gary Meyer show.
Gary Meyer.
The Gary
312-521-8600. Oh, people don't own cars anymore. That's not relatable.
I never really got any of the extra stuff. I guess for me, a car is very much just a device to to transport. I've never
and blow red lights.
Yeah, I've never defined myself by it, or I never, like, I don't know all the numbers, the BF-25 that, you know what I mean? I just never got into. But my dad never did. I think that's something I think that gets
handed
passed
down.
Don't you think? Like even fixing a car. Did your dad ever fix?
No.
See, neither did mine. And so I think if you had a dad who fixed cars, I think he passed that on. And then.
Or did home maintenance.
Right. Same thing.
Same thing.
Nothing. I was only given this humor.
Oh,
that's all they passed up.
Is that it? Really? Sure they did.
Thank God for that.
Fantastic.
It's a good thing you didn't have siblings. You would have just been beaten every day.
I saw this story. It says the unedited vocal version of Britney Spears' track Alien, off her most recent album, Britney Jean, leaked. As the video picked up steam, track producer William Orbit posted a statement explaining that the track is a vocal warm-up session, not Spears' final take. I don't know if you remember about 20 years ago when somebody lifted the Linda McCartney track.
Oh, from Hey Jude, right?
A live
version.
From a concert off the board or whatever, however they got it.
And it was so hysterically painful.
To her defense, and I'm going to play this Britney piece, don't you wonder when you watch somebody in concert, if you really stripped away everything, how on key a lot of these people would be? Now, if you're the lead singer and the music is very much in the background, but overall, if you stripped away anybody, I don't care, tell me your best singer that you can think of, you're going to hear a lot of these clunky notes because you can't imagine how you'd keep everything on tune with all this other stuff going on. I know they have those earpieces as their monitor, but
doesn't matter.
Doesn't. So here's Britney trying her stuff. How many producers do I need to get one frickin' thing done today?
There we go.
Says, according to this William Orbit, the producer, I'd like to affirm that any singer, when first at the mic at the start of a long session, can make a multitude of vocalizations in order to get warmed up. Warming up is essential if you're a pro, as it is with a runner doing stretches.
Well, most of her songs sound auto-tuned anyway, so this is...
And hasn't the rap been that in concert it's mostly on tape?
Yeah, because she's running around. You can't sing and do all these dance steps. Yeah, I mean, it's...
As is a lot of singers we're hearing about.
Definitely.
I remember when I was in my first band, I can't sing.
What was it? What was the name of that?
I think it was The Henchman.
Oh, The Henchman.
I think The Henchman.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Yeah.
The Henchman.
The Henchman.
What was about that blues bubble?
Mama's Bootleg Blues Band.
Right, but The Henchman.
Anyway, I was assigned to sing It Ain't Me, Babe by the Turtles, and somebody recorded it. We played at this church hall and played it back. And if you know this song.
Yeah. That's the Bob Dylan song. Right.
Right.
It ain't me, babe.
Give me the lyrics before the chorus. It ain't me, babe. No, no, no.
No,
it ain't me, babe.
To
open each and every door. it was like that. To open each and every door. It ain't me, babe.
Well, that Linda McCartney thing was horrendous when she was doing nah, nah, nah.
Yeah, but again,
hey,
if you strip away anybody's vocal and isolate it, I've heard this with other singers. And they're all off key at some point. It's got to be crazy hard to be on stage and know your pitch.
Well, she's not a singer either.
That's it, too.
I mean, she was not a singer. She wasn't a musician. I mean, I don't think they even had her keyboard plugged in, you know.
Well, they had something plugged in because they got recording.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, in terms of it going out into the, that
may have
been on the soundboard.
McCartney at the British concert, the Olympics? The Olympics, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
And he started off, and he was way off.
Yeah, yeah.
I just heard a piece about old Blue Eyes and how Sinatra later in his career would sometimes hit that point where his voice just wasn't holding up. But he was so good that even when he was off key, he would stretch the note around a little bit and bring it around so that it still sounded
good. Well, one of the reviews for Paul's concert the other night was saying that right off the top of the show, the drummer was kind of helping him out on the vocals. He was backing him. And so it was like he started off a little shaky, and then by the second or third song,
a lot of these guys have a guy in the band that exactly replicates their voice. Jackson Browne's got one. Springsteen, right?
Yeah, he's got a whole orchestra.
Exactly. But there's always one guy in there that is right on and can keep the note, and they help them along. They sweeten it.
Well, I mean, now, like, even when Elton plays Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, I mean, he can't hit those high falsettos for the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the la la, you know, so he's down and all of his backing people are singing those high notes. Because there's no way you can touch those anymore.
So, goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, he just stays way low, and he lets the other guys go,
When you're in your car and you're singing along to one of these songs, think about the register on these voices.
No kidding. It's crazy.
That's why you do it in your car, and that's why you're not making any money doing it.
You hear that on the backing thing. A lot of these, I have a lot of bootlegs from concerts, and so a lot of them are taken from the soundboard. So this is where all the sound is coming in.
And getting mixed.
So you can hear, and then you hear these background guys, and some of them are way off. Because, like you said, how are you going to find your pitch?
Well, think about now with auto-tuning, some of these artists couldn't hold a note if their life depended on it at all, ever.
No, they're not singers.
Yeah, exactly. If it weren't for the machinery, no career.
I mean, I think Britney Spears can sing, but I just think that maybe she was off that day.
Hey, it happens to everybody.
Oh.
And you notice when some of these guys are approaching the microphone, they know they're not going to be on key before they get to the microphone, so they'll back. They'll start then they'll turn their head to look at the drummer or something because they know they're not hitting the right note. They're making an effort, but they're not close. Speaking of music, hey, Aaron, where are all those CDs I brought in?
They're over here, I think.
Let me pick something. Are we still honoring macas?
Oh, are you still on a maca?
Maca, mocha. And cheese? Let's do his former partner.
Which one?
You got it, I'm sure, on your 25,000 songs. Although I did stump him yesterday.
Blackhead, what was that? Bonko, Monko Berries, Brickleberry Blues or something?
Monkberry Moon Delight.
Whoa.
You mother.
I mean, come on. I've got just your Wingspan, Paul McCartney stuff. I don't have any RAM.
All right, let me surprise everybody with track number 10 off of this, but if you want to pull it off of your pod, number 10.
Oh.
I like that song. Yeah, you like that one?
Yeah.
Good.
I'll take it.
Now, if he would have done this in concert as an homage to John, some of these songs Not the stuff he's been doing, but this would be a showstopper. I think that's a negative thing, but it is a positive thing. Always,
a showstopper.
It should be a show grabber or something.
Enhancer.
But they always use it as a, wow, that was a moment that we really enjoyed. Showstopper?
That kind of does sound like everybody just empties out and goes home then.
That killed it. You ready to go?
Yep. Hold on a second here.
Number 9. Gary Meyer on the Streamliner. What is that chorus now that I hear it? Again,
I think it's au bawakawa posse posse. I don't know if that's French or that's Asian or
if somebody knows the translation.
Or trance or a mantra. I don't know what he's saying there. It sounds like au bawakawa
posse posse
posse posse or something like that.
I can't imagine McCartney doing that because that is a very unique sound. But I don't think he'd do it because it was one of his solo songs.
But see, that's my point, is that no one's doing the John Lennon solo music, which is, I mean, nobody's singing Jealous Guy. It's one of the greatest songs ever written, and no one's singing it.
Except
now.
Brian Ferry.
Yeah, which he does a good version.
Oh, it's an amazing version.
But, you know.
I was talking about fried zucchini yesterday, to switch gears a little bit.
Yeah, where can we find some good
fried zucchini? This text came in at 312-521-8600. It came in late yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to see it until I got in today. Open Range Grill has great tempura zucchini served with chipotle ranch for dipping.
Nice.
And that is in Sugar Grove at the Bliss Creek Golf Course.
Oh, man. You got to go to the golf course again?
Well, that's again, from the Tribune Tower, that's where Moses left his sandals.
Yeah, that's a good little hike. But, although, tempura.
Yeah, that does sound good.
That's got
to usually be good. The food talk is around 6:15.
Yeah, I don't know what
starting
you're doing
way
today.
Too early today.
It's the weekend. It's an appetizer. Well, what you should do is now, for the next hour, talk about appetizers, and then at 6 o'clock, talk about entrees.
Gary, that song is Oh Balaclava, Balaclava. Oh Balaclava, Clava, Pussy, Pussy. Oh.
I can probably find that.
During the song, Leslie was talking about, I think I heard this, a running of the bulls in Cicero.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear that?
Yes, you did, Gary.
What the?
It's the Great Bull Run coming tomorrow to the Hawthorne Racecourse. And apparently people will be running with the bulls, and then they're going to have a tomato fight like they do in
Spain,
whatever that Spanish town is. Yeah. But I didn't realize it, but this is a Mark Cuban, well, at least partially backed by Mark Cuban, and this was put forward at a Shark Tank event.
I do remember seeing that.
Somebody came in and pitched this, and he bought into it.
Yeah, there was some kind of an event. They're like, it was an event company that we put on these events, and I think they had a listing of the different kinds of events that they would put on, and he was all for it. I don't know who's going to go see this.
I don't know if he's going to see it, but, I mean, people participating, I guess, is their angle. You have to pay to participate.
Yeah, you had to pay. Right, yeah. You had to pay to be a part of it.
And you have to sign a waiver.
I was going
to
say, there's no way they're going to let bulls chase John Q. Citizen around Hawthorne without a waiver.
I think they also had, like, these big, elaborate obstacle courses, you know, that you can...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like
how much to get in, do you know?
I'm looking for a price. Hang on one second.
312-521-8600. Jim, you're on the blower.
Oh, hey, great. Hey. Show is sounding great.
Thank you.
Got to miss. I just kind of got in there and just got it on. I'll listen to it on the restart. Love the restart.
Thank you.
It's just great. Anyways, real quick, I don't want to derail you from the hot zucchini.
Hey, but, Jim, can I just say something? And
yeah.
We've been doing this for about 5 or 6 weeks. I know in the past, on formatted radio, everybody felt like they had to move things along. And I know I felt that everybody feels it because there are ratings being taken as you speak. But on the stream, take as much time as you want. You're welcome to give all of the thoughts and prayers that you want to share with everybody.
Good shot, Jukini. It's a Hall of Famer. I got to get the milk out of Jukini.
Thank you. Because the you can, and I don't blame anybody. That's the way it's structured. But I always felt, as you do when you're on commercial radio, okay, is this guy bogging everything down? Now it doesn't matter. Let's talk like real people. What do you want to talk about first, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, man? I was going to mention that you're talking about, you know, no one's doing the John Lennon stuff, and this is a kind of a non sequitur, but I've noticed you play a bunch of off Broadway, and I go back, and those guys do get back together. Cliff, the singer, is in and out, but imagine his voice, you know, how intense that guy's voice is.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them about maybe 3-4 years ago. Actually, I was in a band that got a chance to open for them. We were playing at the Abbey Pub. They dedicated about half of their set to doing Beatles tunes, all John Lennon songs. And imagine, I know he's got kind of that voice, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Hey. It's very Elvis Costello, but it's all kind of came rooted in John Lennon, and it was unbelievable. So it's being done, at least in Chicago, you know, at least by that guy.
Okay.
I don't know if you know him. I mean, I know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. I know Cliff. About every 5 years, I run into him now, and I remember he was a big John Lennon fan. And
but his voice lends to that. I mean, it's like, oh my Lord, it was majestic.
I'll tell you what, I'm sure Bibble has this on his pad.
What do you need?
Automatic.
Off Broadway.
Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Automatic. Inside, outside, we're automatic.
We're automatic.
Inside, outside, we're automatic.
You're right. There is that tonal similarity.
I tell you what, Gary, I'm a radio guy, and we played at the Abbey Pub, and they had fried zucchini there.
Yeah?
I didn't order it, but they had it there.
I love a good fried zucchini. And you would think, how can you screw up zucchini? But let's see, he's queuing it up right there.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great weekend.
Your request. I love you. All right.
Off Broadway, Automatic. I think I introduced them at the Thirsty Whale.
Wow.
A few times.
The Whale.
There was some club I used to go when I worked all nights.
Franklin
at the Loop
Park,
to
Grand Avenue.
Give out albums between their sets.
I'm sure they played the Thirsty Whale. Everybody did.
Haymakers. That was another stop. And I used that money to buy my living room furniture with the cannonball arms and that, I don't even know what that fabric was. And it had a fall pattern on it. That's where I probably got my Thomas Kincaid.
There you go.
Early start.
Way back then.
I love beautiful scenes. Here's a text. Wow, old farts singing. Not off Broadway. That was us with Jim the Caller doing some off Broadway chorusing.
Automatic.
We were talking right before off Broadway about this event in Cicero, the running of the bulls in Cicero. Now, I don't know if it has the same atmosphere as running in Spain. When you're running around a speedway track in Cicero, but
yeah, there's
there
hurricane
is.
Fencing and stuff.
Depends
like that.
On
no cobblestones.
Which portion of Cicero you're in. You could be running anyway.
Oh, that's nice. That's their slogan. And maybe a lot of Spanish-speaking people to feel right at home.
There you go.
How much is this event?
If you want the whole shebang, where you get to do the running, they even give you a bandana and a t-shirt, and you get one beer, and you get to take part in the tomato fight afterward. That's $75
wow.
The day of, which is
tomorrow. Have they done this before here? Is this the first time?
Not that I've heard.
That's what Taste of Chicago should be. About 3 o'clock, they should open up Columbus Drive and just...
Food fight,
and let these bulls run through there and clear it out.
Right.
That's what they should do Sunday when it's over.
So
if there are any lingerers.
For the food fight alone, are the tomato toss, $55. If you just want to go and look, $15 tomorrow.
Yeah, the Taste of Chicago have the turkey leg toss. The leftover turkey legs on Sunday.
They have been known to have some melees where people are tossing stuff.
And let's face it, they couldn't take any longer to clean up.
No.
Because it still takes them 3 or 4 days after the event.
To power wash all the gree-gree off of Columbus Drive.
And they've been saying, what, probably a million a night? They've been going there?
Boy, there is no fizz for this thing.
I haven't heard a word about it.
I was downtown a little bit after the show and over in that area.
Can you even?
Couldn't even tell it was going on.
Really?
Yeah.
We had a bigger crowd for the that pro-Palestinian march.
They should have given them drink tickets or something.
They could have just marched straight through.
And one free food ticket. And you could go get some, what is it, chimichurro? What is that sugary?
The churro.
What's chimichurro?
That's a chimichanga.
Chimichanga.
And chimichurri is a sauce.
I'm mixing something.
But the churro is like a Spanish donut that you dip it in the chocolate sauce. Really good.
And frog's legs or whatever else they have over
there. Yeah, the alligator. The alligator sausages. And well, they actually, to be honest, you have to give them a little credit. The music this year isn't completely terrible. I mean, Jeff Tweedy from Wilco is there and Lucinda Williams. I mean, it's not like it's not Summerfest, let's be honest.
This is when we get the emails from Summerfest.
Yeah, but at least it's not like people from 40, you know, it's not like 45 years ago, Frankie Avalon.
That's 50 years ago.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
I didn't hear about this until today, but the White Sox gave away white ponchos, was it last week? And it started to rain, and everybody put them on. It looked like a Ku Klux Klan meeting.
The still photo is...
Did they have hoods on them?
Yeah. Yep.
Pointy. Big, pointy white hoods.
It looks like the Grand Wizard's going to show up behind home plate.
Yeah. Seemed like such a good idea.
Somehow the White Sox came to the conclusion that handing out white ponchos with pointed hoods before their game against the Angels last week was a solid idea.
The White Klux.
A stadium full of fans wearing white, robe-like ponchos with pointed hoods can't possibly cause any harm, right? Then it started to rain. And then Tom Skilling's face comes out on the field, because that's what is on their tarp.
It's Burning Cross Friday. They had between innings.
And what if some White Sox hit a home run and it was in the shape of a cross? That's all they need when the fireworks went off. 312-521-8600. Bobby!
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
Hey. I got some info on that Abba Wakawa Posse lyric.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, according to Beatlelinks, John Lennon had a dream where two women were yelling at him and calling his name, and they kept repeating those words, Abba Wakawa Posse Posse. So he woke up and he wrote it down.
You hear a lot of these guys where they were sleeping and something came in their head and they got up and they had a notepad.
They fell into a dream.
And that's how a song is born. And that's this case here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like haunting words, and you think it's a language, but apparently it's not.
Well, now we know that mystery is solved, so it's just a dream gibberish thing.
Yeah, I mean, allegedly, as far as we know, according to Beatlelinks. So.
All right, Bob, thank you.
That's the best I can do for you. I love the show. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, the Balakawa thing could make sense because it does sound Asian, and he was going out with May Pang at that time. So,
Matt?
Yeah, Gary, he kind of stole my thunder. I got it right here from Wikipedia. It says the backing vocal is provided by Mai Pang, his partner at the time, lest you think it was Yoko. Even whispering, she sounds better than Yoko. It says, according to Pang's website, two working titles for the song were So Long Ago and Walls and Bridges. Pang also states that the phrase repeated in the chorus, Ah, Balakawa, Posse Posse, came to Lennon in a dream and has no specific meaning. Lennon wrote and arranged the song around his dream, hence the title and the atmospheric dreamlike feel, including the use of cellos in the chorus.
Matt is the resident trivia crazy who calls all the time.
Well, usually I know the stuff off the top of my head. That one I didn't. I went to Wikipedia, you know, the source of all knowledge in the world.
Which is, I read, Wikipedia is usually 60% inaccurate.
Inaccurate.
That's what I read.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you should mention that, because I was looking up Survivor, because a friend of mine's ex-roommate went to see Survivor the other night, and I thought, you know, I wonder who's still in the band. And it turns out that both the lead vocalists that they've had over the years, the original Dave Bickler and Jimmy Jameson, are both in the group right now. as is Frankie Sullivan, although Peterick is not touring with them. But they said that Peterick played his last show with Survivor, and it said at the Eye in the Sky Festival in Lisle, Illinois, and I had to go in and edit it to what it's supposed to be, which is Eyes to the Skies.
Do you have a job, Matt?
Yes, I do. I'm a courier. I deliver packages, Gary.
Full-time or?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a lot of stuff going on in this trivia department.
And my mother said I'd never amount to anything with all the junk that is filling my head. Now you know why I failed algebra in high school.
All right, Matt, have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Oh, by the way, Gary.
Yeah.
Something from, this is a couple of weeks back, I think, but I just happened to think of it. You know, you were talking about drones and helicopters and something about dropping Tom Skilling off at home by helicopter. It reminded me of that where Alvin Lee comes up on stage with 10 years after at Woodstock, and he says, "Here's a little thing called I'm Going Home by Helicopter."
All right, I'll get that segment out of there, and when I talk to Tom next time, we'll play
and
it for
also,
him.
Also, here's a suggestion. When you if you're going to talk about Planet of the Apes, you ought to play Gorilla by James Taylor.
Okay. All right. That's opening this weekend, and I open the show. It'll repeat at 6 with that story about three gorillas that got out of their cages in Minnesota.
That reminded me of it. Yeah, James Taylor has a great, cute little song. It was the title track from the album. It's called Gorilla. It's really cute.
These movie companies will go to any lengths to promote the opening of a movie and to have somebody unlock that gorilla cage so they can walk around for a while. Brilliant.
He's got arms like legs. He's got hands on his feet. He's got a nose like a donut and tends to avoid the street.
All right, Matt, thank you.
See ya.
312-521-8600.
So he talked about Wikipedia entries. You said only 60%.
That's what,
correct?
I read.
Have you checked out yours?
No, I never look at it.
Oh, okay.
Is there a lot
up to date. It says when you were born, Chicago-based radio personality, currently the afternoon host on WGN.FM in Chicago. Heard weekdays 3 to 7.
It's a living encyclopedia.
And you can't update that, right?
I can't, no.
Someone else has to.
No, I haven't looked at that in probably years.
Did you spend your childhood in Oak Forest?
Some of it, yes.
Graduating from Tinley Park High School?
Yes.
Okay. Pharmacy school? Didn't receive a degree?
I got a degree.
Ouch.
It was the third degree. Get the hell out of here.
Hard knocks.
They all sorts of stuff about you. I don't...
Anybody can do it. But these schools will tell these kids, do not go to Wikipedia, because if they find out, that will damage their grades. And they can find out. Yeah, because they know a lot of this stuff is not accurate. And these kids, those Cliff's notes that we had, that's Wikipedia, I guess, to them.
Yeah.
And why do any work if you don't have to?
There's software that you can plug in, and it'll look for like phrases, and easily cross-reference and find out if you lifted it from some other place.
Oh, yeah, people, because kids have been, there's a whole thing where they're writing term papers and just pulling them right off the internet.
And these teachers know that. That's why they tell them, we better not find you on Wikipedia.
We had to go to the library and wait for somebody to bring the book back if it was out. I mean, with the encyclopedia to find your...
take some notes on 3x5 cards to assemble the quotes and the footnotes and all that.
Your bibliography.
Your bibliography.
And then, if you didn't type, you had to find somebody to type it for you.
Oh, man.
Have it too easy.
Now they just hit Wikipedia. Google.
There was a fake story, and I've been saying for years with all the shootings, maybe it's time for some National Guard action. So somebody put out on, what is this fake site that we saw this on? And some people are believing it.
What, like the Onion?
Well, no, it's not Onion. It's something else. What was it, Craig? Newsnerd.com. 82 shot, Chicago considered war zone, military deployed.
Oh, great.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel has called on the assistance of the U.S. military to help patrol the blood-soaked streets of Chicago. The unprecedented move is one step away from declaring total martial law in the nation's third most populous city. During 4th of July weekend, 82 people were shot in an 84-hour period, with a total of 14 succumbing to their injuries. Though the number of murders has fallen drastically since the 90s, the violence in Chicago seems to be increasing dramatically. It's Groundhog Day here in Chicago again, Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy said. The results were a lot of shootings and a lot of murders, unfortunately. Yesterday was the day that really blew it up for us and our strategy. With their failing strategies to protect the public, city officials will now go in a different direction and call upon the services of the National Guard. The U.S. military will act as a liaison for the police department and will not be given free rein to enforce the law, at least at this moment. The city, which has been given the nickname Chirac because of its violent presence, will now see increased police presence and armed guards in dangerous neighborhoods.
It doesn't sound
far. Now, this is going to go out, and some people won't know if it's fact or fiction. They'll assume it's fact.
Well, it's got a truthiness to
it. As I said, it doesn't sound crazy.
That's why.
It's written in a very believable way.
What is the tipping point when they do need some more help? How many? Is it 100, 150 over a weekend? What's that number?
Yeah, I mean, don't we bring in, doesn't ComEd bring in people from other states to help when the electricity goes out?
Same thing.
Same thing. We need help here.
Let's bring volunteers when there's a bad tornado and people come up.
Let's bring some cops from Alabama.
To clean up. Nice. You got a funny looking mouth, boy.
Oh, I didn't mean that. But
oh, sure you did. No, of course you did.
No, I really mean it.
All right, Michigan.
312-521-8600. Bob.
Oh, hello. I was just going to say I very much enjoyed the off-Broadway and then the talk of Survivor, local rock. Maybe there's something you can do, Gary, is, you know, get some of the – maybe there's some new bands out there too, but get some of the local rock in there. And I don't know if I can do a request, but there's a great – I don't know, maybe does Biddle have all the great Survivor songs? I know Peter Ick, you know, Ides of March, Vehicle Baby. But there's such a great song called Rebel Girl.
Oh, Rebel Girl's one of my favorite songs of all time.
That is a good song.
One of my favorites of all time.
And then that guy called before who's just the old fart singing, you know?
Yeah.
Have you seen her? The rebel girl in action in the city.
Instant requests today.
Yeah, it's Friday. Gary Meyer on the superstreamer.fm, 312-521-8600. An unnamed British writer, and the reason I mentioned that is because I got a text and it says, name theory, did you see the story about the guy who lost his fingertips riding the Pirates of the Caribbean ride on the Disney World's lot? He lost the tips of his right pinky and right fingers yesterday after holding the outside of the boat.
Oh.
So his name must have been released and ties into his fingers or something?
I will find it.
Yeah, if you could. I always keep my hands in, because those boats, if I remember, are always banging up against the side of something.
But it's not hard to... I could understand why he would do that as well, though, because you're sort of sitting in there and they're rocking, and maybe you hold on to the side. Because isn't there, like, big pieces of rubber on the side of those?
I haven't been down there in a while.
Yeah.
But when I do go down again, I am going to rent a wheelchair. And then I'll get to the front of the line, like a lot of goofballs do.
Well, now, didn't they say before, I don't know if they stopped it, but wasn't there some kind of a concierge service where you could pay an X amount?
Yeah.
And they'll have someone that walks you around the whole park and you go right through. I think his name was Tom Hangnail.
Yeah. Well, I just looked at the text. I had the story and I thought, well, okay, I don't remember a name. And sure enough, there was no name in the story I have.
Yeah, several stories now, and it's not mentioned.
Didn't they water it down a bit because it had pirates chasing prostitutes at one point? Did they do something with that?
Well, I went to Disneyland.
They just run it in reverse, and now she's... they're both running backward, and she's chasing it.
It's more equal. We went to Disneyland a couple of years ago in California, and they still... they did still have, but it was kind of back. It used to be much more prominent. There was one area I remember where the whole scene was guys chasing women. And I think now it was just one, and it was kind of hidden.
I remember they got some rollback.
And now they've got, because what I think they've done too is they've put a lot more of the movies with Johnny Depp in there now. There's Johnny Depp's character is in the ride now, in a few different scenes. So maybe that's when they...
Because pirates and prostitutes, that would never happen.
No. Well, you always heard the stories about the pirate ships anyway. There probably weren't any many women prostitutes there anyway.
Yeah, that's all they need is guys chasing guys. Although Disney's gay approving.
Gay friendly. Don't they have that day where it's gay day or gay family?
I don't know
family?
If they officially have it, but there is a day that is picked out and it's predominantly a gay clientele.
Yeah.
Well, that would be more accurate, yeah.
There was a real funny Saturday Night Live early one from back in the 70s, early 80s with John Belushi and Michael Palin. And it was all about a guy that was stowed away on a ship, and John Belushi was the captain, and he brought him into his cabin. And he was like, oh, hello.
Can't do that now.
No, you not couldn't. Anymore, you no. probably couldn't, but God, was that funny.
Unacceptable. I have talked about that ventriloquist story before with Tom, but apparently this ventriloquist, this woman, has a ventriloquist act where she has carnal knowledge with her dummy, and it's online. I'm sure you have to pay, probably, to see it. But those of us who are vents are very troubled by this.
You don't like to see the dummies getting taken advantage of.
That hole in the back is for your hand to maneuver the face, not for anything else. They might have to put a warning label on that now.
It's not for lube.
Although my dummy doesn't have a hole. My dummy just had a string.
Yeah, in the back.
Moved its mouth.
Yeah, I didn't have it. Like
I didn't have that expensive dummy where you could control eyes.
No.
And eyebrows.
No, my face was plastic. His, Mortimer's face is plastic. Who did you have? Did you have an actual?
I had.
Did you have Jerry Mahoney? You had Jerry Mahoney.
Yeah,
that's cool. What was he? Knucklehead Smith.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I was working at the Loop, we had a party. For all the on-air people at the boss's house. So I brought my ventriloquist dummy and I put a satin jacket on it with the Loop logo to blend in with everybody else because we all had our Loop jackets on.
Well, didn't you do ventriloquism at one of the Loop fests?
I did. I did.
I was there. I saw that.
I know. There were, 15,000 people and up there doing ventriloquism.
And well, you couldn't even see the dummy.
That was the point. I just, because they were all rolling out these bands, and Brammeyer's got 15 pieces, and everybody was doing this extravaganza, and Kevin Matthews in his fat suit with another 20-piece orchestra.
The Led Zeppelin.
So I thought, what can I do anti this? I'm going to bring my 2-foot-tall ventriloquist dummy out and just do that.
I totally remember.
Yeah. that was
kind of on this giant stage all by yourself.
I know that's what I wanted to do. It was a pimp of the whole. What are these guys doing?
Oh my God!
You're a local DJ. Why are you jumping up and down with a big orchestra?
Well, what the heck though? Johnny B at one point had the attendance record at Poplar Creek.
I made a fortune in weekends there for years.
He beat Dire Straits when they were at their peak in 85. Yeah. He had a bigger crowd than Dire Straits did.
That was sweet coin for him.
Oh, man.
He'd sell out two nights with the merch.
His merch.
Probably took a half mil out the door for himself.
I'll never forget. Then he put out, this was probably in the mid to late 80s, he put out a video, like a video of the concerts or something. I remember watching Channel 5 News. Ron Majors was announcing the release of the new Johnny B.
video
tape is now on sale. It's like, oh my God.
How about those days?
Unbelievable.
It was an empire for its day.
Oh man. Definitely.
God bless all these people. And he was racially insensitive with...
Without a doubt. No.
Middle Easterners.
Oh.
And I filed some grievances. Piranha man. Where is that guy? He's still around, right?
Every so often, Hoover
Jeff
throws
Hoover
him on.
From Channel 9's morning show, the producer there, he reels him in for something.
To sing the national anthem or something like that before they do an event.
How did he meet Piranha Man? I don't know the history of that.
Well, he used to work at
a donut shop.
Donut shop.
And he called in one day?
It was open that early in the morning. I thought maybe he stopped in.
I think he stopped in either Johnny went into the place and saw him there, and then somehow, you know, it was very organic. I don't think it was, you know, planned out.
I'm sure Piranha Man made a fortune, too.
You think he did?
No. Not at all.
No, because he had the donut shop, and all of a sudden the donut shop went out of business, I remember. Then he was working at a car place or something.
Bob at 312-521-8600.
Yeah, Piranha Man really hit the skids after he lost popularity. I remember that.
Oh, well, it happens to all of us.
Anyways, I was watching the news before coming out in my taxi cab today, and they were showing about Amazon. I don't know if you had heard about it, but Amazon is going towards drone deliveries now.
I did hear that. They're going to do some tests with these drones dropping off packages.
It's so bizarre, Gary. The thing comes down and just in front of the person's house and drops, you know, the small box and then goes back up in the air, and that's what they're gravitating towards going to. And you'll just be seeing. I can't see how that's going to happen.
The first time
drones flying all over the area.
The first time somebody's eye gets plucked out because this thing goes haywire, it's over. And let's totally cut to the chase here. This automation is okay, but it's going to take jobs away if we keep pursuing this. Then what a delivery truck driver is going to do?
Yeah, but I don't know how they would handle all the air traffic. I mean, you know, these things are going to be flying in the air. Are they going to be potentially hitting planes? And like you said, they're hitting people. I mean, how does it know not to, avoid these things?
And you know, some ne'er-do-well. Oh, top of the hour.
That was fast.
What was fast?
It was a fast hour.
Was it?
Remember the 4 o'clock one.
Drive around in the car and listen to this, and then get back to me. Then tell me how fast.
Spartans!
What is your profession?
I'm going to have Spartan Day up on the 22nd floor here at the Tribune Tower.
So, Gary, I was meaning to ask you, too, about, I hate to bring up a sore subject, but.
But then don't bring it up. Well, if you hate to bring it up, don't bring it up.
It really is bothering me. I mean, it's really getting under my skin. The whole thing with Ravinia, I mean, really? I mean, that whole thing is just a joke with that. I was really looking forward to you being there.
Oh, well, again, the sponsor of those has a certain desire, which is to have the AM, because it's a bigger audience. They paid for that. I don't blame them. But I am trying to get out there, not on that night that was originally scheduled, which was not even released, so it doesn't matter what night that was, but hopefully there towards the end of the month.
I was thinking about potentially you going a different route with the anniversary of Disco Demolition and them having something like kind of gravitating in that direction, with maybe not potentially having your other guy showing up.
That sounds good already.
That would be tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, Bob, you hated to bring it up. You did, and now you should really hate it.
Okay. All right. You have a good one, man.
All right, Bob.
It's tomorrow, right? The 12th?
It is just past 5 o'clock. Please. 312-521-8600. And did we tie up all loose ends? Oh, the drone thing.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? They're going to roll out a few to see how it works. What happens when the thing lands and the person gets their package and then some ne'er-do-well comes over and either steals it or takes a baseball bat to it? You know,
to the drone.
Or starts knocking drones out of the sky.
Yeah. And stealing packages.
Exactly. This works nice in a little video.
It works nice in a warehouse.
Yeah, this does
not. If you need to take things from point A to point B in a big warehouse.
This has no real-world application.
It has in the use of a camera in areas that you can't get to.
No, but I mean in terms of
firefighters.
No, I mean
these
delivering.
But delivering packages, again, it takes away if it does become something. What about guys that deliver packages now?
But what if it flies into my window and breaks my window?
Lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's.
When does the testing start? Because they seem ready to do something soon.
I didn't know they were getting this quick. I remember they showed the video
a couple
of months ago.
They did that 60 Minutes piece, and I heard today, they're going to start testing.
Well, they're going to do that in the most serene and controlled area. Yeah, this might be good for a farm, exactly, but in an urban setting?
Search and rescue. But in the same way, they're finding out these driverless cars, everything has been really awesome in terms of what we're hearing about them, and they've had like zero crashes except where human error was involved. Until you start reading deeper and find out that they've never tested it on, or they have, and they're finding their flaws with running it on wet or snow-covered roads because the whole sense system is thrown off that way. So it's not nearly as close
but
as
even
they
if that does get worked out and we have driverless cars, that doesn't take anybody's job away. You can sit in the back seat and do dueling sky rockets or whatever you want to do.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't take a job away. You just get somebody else to drive, which is the computer.
Yeah.
Which is relaxing. And then you can fiddle with everything that you usually fiddle with when you're driving and is very dangerous.
No, I don't think it's that big of a deal that there needs to be a truck that can't deliver it with a guy dropping it in my mailbox or ringing my doorbell.
You can't build a better mousetrap sometimes. It works just fine. Leave it as it is.
So do you think that this is Amazon's desire to just completely control the entire channel
they
now?
They want to cut out the shipping costs or whatever
so
to somebody.
From order to delivery. Yeah. They have you completely then. But it's going to cost something for them, right?
How many do you need with the amount of packages they deliver?
So isn't that shipping cost going to still, either if it doesn't show up on my thing as shipping, is it going to show up on the price of the item then? Because these aren't
free.
To pay
for the drone.
Yeah, the drone isn't free.
First time it goes haywire and decapitates somebody, the game's over.
So they're just seeking permission from U.S. regulators to test the delivery system. So we are way into its infancy.
312-521-8600. Rick?
Yeah, have you ever seen the Jack Benny show that they show late at night, on the WGN stream or whatever?
I don't because I sleep, but Bibble stays up all night.
Oh, I love Jack Benny.
Because he's high on meth or something.
But it had a giant Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer McSnerd is about 5 foot people, and they were like not Jack Benny's children, but it was a very kind of a dream-like state, and they were actors that were put in these costumes and walked around.
I think I did see that one time. It was very freaky.
Yeah, no,
to see Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd walking without Edgar Bergen around.
Well, it sounds like that commercial with the puppets.
The super giant puppets that we're getting.
Yeah.
Yes. And what is that product? I can never think of the product, but I guess I'm so fixated on the puppets.
Oh, with the hands. That's
the strings. And
yeah. Isn't that Xfinity or
Comcast? They're really funny.
Yeah, because they say no more wires.
Right.
Direct TV
exactly.
or one of those.
Exactly. And the one with the woman coming into the bedroom and she does that dance.
Doing the dance.
It's really funny.
And when the kid gets stuck in the ceiling fan.
But the one with the woman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I was turned on by a puppet.
I know.
But what was this McCarthy's thing? It's Groundhog's Day come to reality. I thought that was a movie.
What?
We've experienced Groundhog's Day in Chicago.
Oh, that was a fake story about the National Guard coming in?
No. About the news conference he had a couple days ago where we've experienced Groundhog's Day here in Chicago.
He actually did say that?
I think those are similar to his words, yes.
I didn't see that press conference.
I
assumed everything in that story was fake.
No.
This is another day when he was talking about all the murders over the weekend, I think.
Yeah, over the weekend.
It's Groundhog Day because every weekend it's the same thing.
Right, yeah. But I think that's what they hired him for.
Well, how do you know exactly when somebody's going to shoot somebody on which block and to have a cop there at that moment?
You can't.
No.
It's
You'd have to have cops lining every one of these bad streets day and night. But here's Jesse Jackson. We need more police presence. Right. And that's not the problem. If you want to address the problem, you got to really address the problem. And it goes back to...
I don't think making a statement, going to a movie analogy, helps anyone.
Well, yeah. I'd rather have had him quote that How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Exactly.
let's look at the brighter side of life and get, get that song cranking.
As they say in Tammy, Mark Twain? All right, Rick, have a great weekend.
I'm working on it.
There you go. Thank you. I didn't know he had actually said that. They incorporated that into the fake story then.
Oh, okay. I think he did say something like that.
That it's like Groundhog Day every weekend here in Chicago.
Well, that poor guy. He's getting hard to attacks.
He had to grab her. I would, too. Well, again, he came from what, New York? New Jersey?
Newark.
Yeah, New Jersey. Newark.
Yeah.
And imagine what he saw there, and this is worse. Because you see those pictures of Newark and Camden. It looks like Detroit. And he took this job thinking, what, this is going to be a cakewalk in Chicago? And now he was in the hospital. Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you.
Oh, big dummy.
why did I take this job? Roxanne twins, dueling skyrockets, Cliff Johnson, some think the original Anthony. That was, I have to give, I'm thinking off-Broadway and thematic here.
Oh, okay.
Automatic.
Yeah.
Cliff Johnson used to do this bit about the Venzacco twins, I think was the name, and that she would be in the back seat with dueling skyrockets, and you'll have to fill in the blanks on that one. But, yeah, that was one of his things. He was the original Anthony. Then we had this guy whose name was Anthony.
Right.
And he was Anthony over Bite Air. That's where a lot of that came from.
Well, wasn't he making fun of Elmwood Park, the Johnny's Ice?
Right.
Yeah.
Over
nice,
Bite Air.
Nice ice.
Johnny's dipped.
Nice.
Get a beef dipped. $1.58 lemonade.
With poppers.
Well, poppers.
Poppers.
It's nice. N-I-Z-E.
Well, like I said, I think you actually do have to take some credit or blame.
For what?
For the Chicago. The
Speak?
Because that's where that came from. No one was doing that before.
All right, but there was a lag time between when we did it and then when the super fans picked it up.
Well, sure, but it was a lag time nationally. There wasn't a lag time. People have been doing that from the first day they ever heard you guys do that. It's never stopped. That's been 35 years of people going.
And especially a bunch of comedian types.
Yeah.
And now all these TV shows that are based in Chicago, filmed in Chicago mostly, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, they have at least one character who really talks like that. Hey. And in Chicago PD, no, Chicago Fire is that guy from Sex and the City who's from Chicago.
Right, yeah.
Naperville, I believe. Yeah. I don't know if they talk like that in Naperville.
They're just snobby.
No.
What's his name? I can never think of his name.
Oh, the main guy?
The guy from Sex and the City was in Chicago Fire.
I never watched it.
You never watched which?
Either one.
Oh, you son of a... Chicago Fire, it's manly?
I know.
What's wrong with that?
I think I'm watching some girly show at that time.
That doesn't shock anybody.
I can't remember. What's that? What day is that on?
I think it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Tuesday?
One's Tuesday, one's Wednesday. Chicago PD is Wednesday.
Is that New Girl?
No, I don't watch that stuff. Oof. Mindy Project.
But he knows all the titles.
Oh.
Mindy Project.
I'm so tired. I don't want to cancel my subscription to Entertainment Weekly because it does have useful information, but every issue has Mindy Kaling from the Mindy Project. They are trying to make this show into something.
You know what would make it into something?
Oh.
And don't react until you really let it sink in. Piranha Man. She brings Piranha Man into that show. She's got her hit on her hands.
Well, that's been the problem, is that she dates white guys exclusively, it seems.
Oh, and that's what...
Some people are saying that she needs to broaden the diversity of that show.
Well, I'll tell you, I have been so tempted to write a letter and just say, when are you going to just call it Kaling Weekly? Because every week her picture or something
that
about
show
that show
has not moved the needle at
it's
all.
It's got no ratings. They got it wiped
and it
out.
Got
it's
renewed,
pretty
right?
Funny though. If you watch,
is it good?
Yeah.
And she plays
a doctor.
A doctor.
A gynecologist.
Gynecologist.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's got no ratings. Second year in a row, zero Emmy Award nominations. Nothing except there's a little group of hipsters who like her.
And that would be Leslie and some other people.
Well, because I'm hot for Chris Messina,
who is the
doctor.
But, wow, it's like, just let this die already. No one's watching it.
And it got Leslie. Renewed.
Yeah, well, because nobody watches Fox.
Wow.
Well,
I hope
dead.
Mr. Murdoch isn't listening.
Well, it's true. I mean, then they figured they put it after New Girl, so it's like the two kind of hipster chick shows.
They're all
chick
trying
shows.
To replicate
you
the
got a problem
buzz
with women, don't you?
From Girls.
Certain ones.
And now this new one, Broad City.
Right.
But that's all cable stuff. That's a different animal. But, and you can't get into the abrasiveness and the...
You can't do an Orange is the New Black on TV.
And the edginess that they do on cable. But they're going to try because they're seeing, oh, these are popular. Everybody's talking about them.
But, you know, Zooey Deschanel with the new girl. I mean, so all the, I'm sure that, you know, that's
like... I said, you have women issues. It's
no,
okay.
No, it's just with a few of them. Mindy Kaling, mainly.
Oh. Wow.
Dang.
Well, it's, I mean, I swear to
you. Why don't you go after her weight, huh?
Were you scarred by a gynecologist?
No. But, I mean, if you got that magazine every week, it's in... It's,
I don't. That's why I don't know
saying.
That.
It is unbelievable. They put her... They have these little quotes, and they have her picture there, or they do behind the scenes with the show, or in the back, they have this little bullseye thing. Oh, that episode was so funny. Or they do the thing about what's coming up this week, and then they have a little recap of this week's episode. It's like, does she owe somebody something here? There's no other shows that get that much kind of...
All right, well, you need to write a letter.
I'm going
to. Mr. Weekly. Tell him to stop.
Come on already. Oi.
Put on Breaking Bad, even though it's done. Put that on the cover.
There was a lot of surprises in the Emmy nominations, too. A lot of snubs.
I'm going to be playing the Emmy-nominated songs in a little bit. This is Sugar Roy. What surprises are we talking about?
Oh, well, I just, there was like, you know, there's a couple of like that one show. Have you ever heard of Orphan Black at all? Have you heard of that show?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. This one woman, she literally plays like seven roles on the show. And she got
shunned.
Totally shunned out. You know, and that show itself has gotten a cult kind of thing. But
well,
I mean,
where is that?
It's on BBC America.
Oh, BBC America. Yeah. Wow.
And just a few of the other, like there's a show, The Americans, which is a really good show about the Cold War in the 80s.
Shunned.
Shunned. Carrie Russell, Felicity. She shunned. Shunned. Yeah, there's just
a lot of shunning going on.
A lot of shunning going on. The one from Mad Men who always get, you know, Peggy, you know, the younger, she didn't get nominated.
Shunned.
Girls did not get nominated.
Well, I guess we won't be watching the Emmys this year, will we?
Thank God Mindy Kaling didn't.
Yeah. What if she
shunned.
Got,
ding.
I wish she would have gotten nominated just to drive you freaking nuts.
Oh, no, I was so happy because now it does back up my, if I do write my letter, I can now put, and it's been 2 years in a row it's been shunned by the Emmys. So that even, you know, carries more weight now.
What about Walking Dead?
Shunned.
Shunned.
Shunned. Walking Dead shunned. Yeah. There was a lot of...
A lot of shunning going on.
A lot of shunning going on, and a lot of people that were upset at, like, some of the people that did get nominated. It's almost like, oh, well, they got in there, like, you know, Claire Danes from Homeland.
Who's hosting?
Seth Meyers. Because I think it's on NBC, so they have to promote... their new guy there. Do you ever watch him?
I don't usually make it to that hour.
Yeah.
But when I did watch it, his pacing is the same as when he did Weekend Update, when he's doing a monologue, which is not the pace you want for a monologue. The same kind of, and in! You know how he set it up on Weekend Update? That's the same thing he did with the monologue.
Which seems really inappropriate for MC
well,
duties.
There he is.
Okay.
And... they're talking about when they need to replace the next one, which would be, what, Craig Ferguson?
Yeah.
They should go for something different, like a female or someone of color, because these things are all blending.
Well, Chelsea Handler already has signed with Netflix, so
yeah, she's
gone. It's not going to be her.
They're talking about, what's her name? I really like blonde hair. She's hot now, too, as far as
blonde hair
talked about.
Joan Rivers.
Jane Lynch.
No.
Oof.
He's got a show on Debbie
Schumer. I'm thinking
Schumer.
MC.
Oh, Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, on Comedy Central.
Yeah. Like her name.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think
she's a little
too edgy for network television, although at that hour.
Yeah, it's 12:30.
What do you got to lose?
Because wasn't
you
Craig...
like her stuff?
Yes, I really
I do.
I watch her show all the time.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's very good. And I'll see, she's a woman, Leslie.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for noticing.
And I actually think she's funny.
Oh.
And
I'm in the Jerry Lewis school.
You sure are.
Brad's funny.
And how about what's her name from the roasts?
Oh, Whitney Cummings?
No.
Oh, Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
the blacks and the queers,
the gays, the homos.
They are rerunning the roasts lately. Yeah. And last night I happened to be at the end of the...
Whose?
What's her name? Oh, my God. I've had too much tea.
Are you feeling lightheaded?
Baywatch.
Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson. She was roasted. Yeah. And I caught...
Because isn't Courtney Love on that one, too?
Yeah. Oh, is she a mess?
She was a mess on that one.
And Lampinelli, she's all that stuff.
Oh, that was...
Love the queers.
That was a brutal
one. And the coloreds.
Oh, but that Pamela Anderson one was brutal. They were making fun of her body parts.
Well, they do that with everybody.
Yeah, but that one was really... That's why Courtney Love got mad. Because somebody made a joke, I don't remember who it was, about something that was really kind of, whoa.
I think it was about her husband's suicide, right?
Oh, was it?
Now I know why your husband killed himself, but I see you.
Oh, ow.
It was something like that.
Yeah, that was a brutal roast. I mean, that was a roast in every sense of the word.
But the funny thing is, they'll leave certain things in, but then they'll bleep out certain vulgarities, but others are left in. It's very... haphazard on what they censor.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have one of these roasts, and it's on Comedy Central, it's on cable, so either play it or don't play it.
Yeah, and they have gotten, even that now, they seem to have been, there's more, it's not as biting as they used to be initially when those first started.
They reran the blue-collar comic.
Oh, the cable guy?
Yeah, I can't think of
Larry.
Wow. I can't think of anything. Wow. Wow, wow, wow,
you
wow.
You know that blonde?
That redneck guy? But it's funny when they roasted him.
Yes, Mr. Meyer.
A lot of references to his wealth, which I think is funny, and I assume it's pretty much true, where he makes $250,000 a night.
Oh, yeah.
The cable guy.
Yeah.
And he flies around in a private jet, and he's got this whole persona of Mr. Redneck just driving a truck.
And he's not even a redneck. He was a stand-up comedian. He was a regular stand-up comedian.
This act.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and he just decided to, you know, I'm going to cut off the sleeves on my flannel and put on a hat and just get going.
Jimmy.
Oh, hi. Again, sorry to change the subject, but I know
there isn't a subject. We're just talking here.
You did the off-Broadway, and then someone did the
this is the same guy.
The Survivor. So I don't know if you're searching for songs, but how about a cheap trick song of your choice? Maybe at the end before 7 o'clock or sometime. Really do it good for us local rock.
All right, you called before, right, Jimmy?
I was the old fart that sang the Broadway stuff. All right. Sorry about that. Sorry, everybody.
That's all right.
Does Jim remember the group called The Shoes?
The Shoes. I have a button that says, I love shoes.
Because I have the shoes on my iPad.
You have shoes on your iPad.
I have shoes on my iPod. Yep.
Really? Wow, play some Shoes. That'd be great.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you again.
Love you. All right, music.
Remember that song, Too Late?
No.
No?
No.
If you heard it, you would. You guys played it. Where do you think I heard it?
It's 30 years ago.
I heard it on the loop.
Okay. Remember all these little local bands that had a song?
Yeah, they were the Boys from Illinois. Remember those guys?
I remember the Boys. I introduced them at Haymakers
Did
lot,
you?
Too. Oh, yeah.
See?
Hartsfield,
oh, yes.
I saw them at Old Chicago.
They were
great.
The Elvis Brothers. Remember the Elvis Brothers?
Yeah, Mason Prophet. Remember them?
Mason Prophet.
Okay. M&R Rush.
They played at my high school. Oh, Pez Band. Remember Pez Band?
Pez Band.
They played at my prom, I think.
Great. And that's when you took another guy because it was all boys. So all these guys are dancing Pez Bands up there going, oh, man, this is a tough gig.
And there was Mahogany Rush, too. There was a Mahogany Rush and an M&R Rush.
Mahogany Rush was the color of my first couch. I remember that, and I used the money from Haymakers to buy that couch.
Wow.
Full circle.
The first time you get furniture, it's like you've won the lottery.
It is when you
get your apartment and you can afford furniture, and it comes, and you're sitting there. I just sat on every chair all night, just moved from chair to chair.
Wait, I just bought two new chairs, and I'm doing the same thing still.
Yes. And you have furniture for years, but still you get the new furniture.
Although a couple years ago we got a new recliner, and... For the first week, I didn't even want to sit in it because it looked so nice and it looked so pristine. I'm like, I don't want
to. Okay, I can top that. As I'm moving stuff from my old office to the new one, I take my Palm Pilot out, and it's still shrink-wrapped. I never opened it. My Palm Pilot.
Wow.
It's, I'll use that now as a eBay mint condition.
Oh, you should sell? Oh, yeah. Somebody still in Silicon Valley will buy it.
Wait 10 years.
Yeah.
And
remember how hot the Palm Pilots were?
Oh, everybody had that little stick. Remember the little stylus that came with it? They were all...
And we thought it couldn't get any better than that.
That's the future right there.
And everybody's like, oh, yes, I'll have that... on my schedule here.
And you had to draw the letters that match
a specific way.
Right. Otherwise, it wouldn't acknowledge it.
And the code was on the back to show you how to make an L.
And that wasn't that long ago. No. It sounds like 50 years ago.
It was 15 years ago, mid-90s. Although that was 20 years ago.
I also, on a phone, they gave me a little camera that plugged into the phone. That was my camera.
Wow.
15 years ago.
A separate camera.
Sprint had, when I got the phone, they said, oh, you can take pictures. Here's the little camera. It plugs into the phone. A little camera plugged into the phone before they incorporated all of the technology.
And you were able to click it?
Yeah. It was like a little phone or a little camera onto the phone.
Oh, wild. I don't remember
I remember at all.
You don't?
No.
Yeah. I thought I was living.
You thought you were.
Put that right next to your laser disc. Skip.
Oh, don't remind me. That's all in storage, too.
Laser discs.
These big discs and all the extras from Criterion.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear the director talking over all the scenes. Right. It can't get any better than this. It will never be better.
Those laser discs were so funny because they basically, if you remember the first laser disc, it had a stylus. It actually played, remember you
right, put the plate
shoved
in there,
the whole thing in, but it would skip.
Yeah.
The first ones, the RCA ones actually used to skip. And it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. What have we done here then? And then the laser one was a little better.
I had the laser. I didn't have the one with the stylus.
The first one had a stylus.
And it wasn't that long ago. You thought they would have perfected all that 20 years ago, but it was clumsy.
Well, I know it's cool and everybody's buying. Like even your friend yesterday said he's got a turntable. But, I mean, think about how really old-fashioned that is.
That's why people are buying them, because it's retro now.
I mean,
you're 20 somethings, they have an apartment, they go over to Urban Outfitters and they buy a rubber turntable.
I want to say Restoration Hardware
with teal around it.
A portable record player.
Who did?
Restoration Hardware was.
Oh, yeah, they have one too. Palm Pilot on eBay now, $300.
Look at that.
That's more than probably cost, right? Oh. I got it as a gift.
Well, then it's $300 more than you paid.
That's right. I'm 300. I'm 300 large into that.
Right.
First time I go to Urban Outfitters, I walked through there and I thought, how would I describe this place if somebody asked me? And I came up with industrial foreclosure. That's all I got, because they have these rubber phones and everything. There's a lot of rubber. I'm thinking. And I felt like an old guy, because I'm sure when I bought my Batman stuff, somebody thought when they looked at my stuff that I was goofy. And I'm looking at that stuff now thinking that's goofy. And I was into all that stuff.
Those jeans are tattered. Why would you pay full price for tattered
They're
jeans?
They're all ripped and faded. What are you doing?
And then you get an Etch-A-Sketch, a little Etch-A-Sketch, if you want that. I guess that's what they put on their coffee table.
Oh, it's like a hipster kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. 25, 30 years ago, I would have gone in there and just rolled out a truck and emptied everything in there.
Man. And now all those people, think about if you're that company like Milton Bradley or whoever makes that thing's been sitting on the shelf for years and you're like, and all of a sudden now it's just making money for you.
Well, I think they're making new ones because it's a smaller version. It's a mini Etch-A-Sketch that I remember seeing there. And then you'll see a table full of books that have the F word all over them because you want to put that on your cover.
I want
to say the best
way
to use the F word. I got to go through there again because there's a lot of material in there.
Okay. The Cubs just had an Etch-A-Sketch day.
The Cubs did?
What?
Yeah, I want to say last week.
And they gave away
little Etch-A-Sketches, little Cubs Etch-A-Sketches.
Wow, how about that? That's so right there.
Very
so you would sit
popular.
There and sketch out the action.
Yeah, you make Starlin Castro.
I could make their scoreboard because it's square.
Oh, how cool would that
rectangular,
be?
Rectangular, whatever. That's
or one of the seven new signs.
Drawing the IV is going to be a problem.
Right. Actually hard to make right angles on an Etch-A-Sketch when you think you got to really be good. Although an Elf, you remember he did the Mona Lisa.
Right, he did the whole thing.
He did a very good job.
And that's a real artist who did that. Etch-A-Sketch artist.
That can do remarkable stuff where he can do detail that you could never do on your own.
I used to love the coolest part was when you erased it. Because, like, where did it go?
Shook it and then it was gone.
Very cool.
Now, if you had the magnet in your finger.
You could play Etch-A-Sketch without having to
turn the knobs.
No knobs needed.
312-521-8600. And Bob is on hold again listening. Welcome, Bob.
Bob loves.
Just likes to listen on hold. You are welcome to do that. For the entire show, if you want. He did it yesterday, and here he is again today.
Was he on the whole show?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Whenever he called in, about an hour in, he stayed the whole time.
Well, he's got another hour and a half.
What does he have to do? He just puts it on hold, and it comes through the speaker.
Right.
He doesn't have to do anything. He can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and listen. Another severed arm was found outside a home in Long Island. Now police are investigating whether the body parts are linking to a missing mother from Brooklyn. Another severed arm was discovered in Long Island on Thursday, a day after one was found on a man's lawn in the same town. I hope it's the same person, because you don't want to think there are multiple arms and legs from different people.
There's a lot of that going around.
There is?
What are you talking about? Don't you just think that there's just a lot of murdered people and bodies buried and pieces dumped everywhere that we have.
I try not to.
I trip over one, forget it.
By the way, Etch-A-Sketch giveaway day is Sunday.
Okay. That's coming up.
Coming up.
First 10,000?
I guess so.
First 10,000.
Sunday the 13th.
If you're going to do it, I think, just give everybody one.
Yeah, I hate that first 10,000.
Why do the Cubs, of course, they get a sponsor and they make money off of this. That's why they do it. But usually they would do that because they were trying to get people in on an off night. That's why you do a lot of those premiums.
Yeah.
Although the Blackhawks giveaway stuff, they don't have to.
No.
Because they're sold out.
But they usually do the 10,000 too. They always have those boxes when we...
First 10,000.
When we used to go there, we'd see all the boxes by the door.
Where's that?
At the United Center.
Oh, when we used to go
there.
Yeah, that was really cool because they give us
whatever
they were giving away that night because they were next to us at the broadcast area.
So you get like a bobblehead or a towel or a calendar.
A replica ring.
Yeah.
Those look real. Replica rings.
You take those to the bars, they'd work.
Sure.
I'm Bobby Hull. I got this in 1961. That was the Golden Jet.
I saw him one time at a signing. And so this was before the Hawks won their first Stanley Cup, because they did give Bobby Hull one of those rings. Now they have two of them. But he had his 1961 ring on, right? So, like you, I'm trying to come up with some little snappy repartee.
An icebreaker.
Yeah, to get in with Bobby. And so he's sitting at the table, and there's these three older women behind me, right next to me. And so I said, wow, look at that ring. I said, boy, I bet you that worked pretty good at the bars. Bobby goes, you know, when we won, there were these, we went to the bars over by Rush Street, and these whores came over, and he said whores about seven times, and these three old women are right next to me, and I'm like, yeah, great, I don't need to hear this rest. And then one whore went with Eric Nestorenko, and another whore, and I said, I don't want to go with the whores. And I was like, oh, Bobby, stop.
Bobby.
It's unbelievable.
That's a nice story.
And these poor women are standing there. Going,
why were they waiting to talk to him?
No, they want to get his autograph. Yeah.
Yeah. They still want it after that?
I don't know.
But how are you?
He didn't even have, and if you remember, one time when the first time that after they won the first cup, he came on the show there, and he was up at our table, and he sat down, and you asked to see his ring. So he took it off, and he showed it to you. And then the interview continued, and if you remember, there was always a lot of paper on that big table. So then one of the Blackhawks handlers, when he was done, he walked off. So now as he left, I was cleaning up the table, and there's the ring underneath the papers.
Yeah, he left it.
And this was, he had just gotten it. It was, that was a $40,000 ring. So I pick up the ring.
Kept it.
And I'm
put
like,
it on eBay.
And I'm, yeah. And I see
I
myself.
Made 30,000.
I'm like, right now, if I wanted to be a jerk, I could just put this in my pocket because this guy has no idea.
You would never be that.
No, I couldn't do that. But I, for a second there, I said, I'm holding an official.
Hey, who's the whore who stole my ring?
Where are the whores that stole my ring? So I ran down the hallway and I said, Bobby, I said, you what? He goes, oh, thanks.
Well, do you remember?
That happens.
Oh.
There was a robbery at the Roundhouse in Aurora, the Walter Payton restaurant, and they stole the ring from a display case, and it was a replica. It wasn't his real ring.
Oh, it was of his Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, really? No.
Well, you don't put the real ring out there. Everybody knows that, right?
But Bobby, I was like,
well, Bobby did.
Bobby did.
Well,
Bobby was wearing it, just lost track.
Oh.
Hey, thanks. Speaking of that, Rick Kogan. Of that voice, Rick Kogan not here today because he's on assignment.
On assignment.
I'm over at the GOAT, and I remember sitting there in 1979, and Mike Royko walked in, and we talked about Studs Terkel for a couple minutes.
I don't pay for any drinks at a saloon.
And there was this famous brothel on Wabash.
And I go for ribs at Twin Anchors.
And I'll tell you what, this city is not run right.
Nelson Eldridge.
I remember the great Carl Sandburg saying one day that this is a hog-butchering city of big shoulders.
Arch and Shea is one of the great photographers in Chicago history.
Did you ever meet Studs Terkel?
What's that?
I said, did you ever meet Studs Terkel?
Yes.
No, I was waiting for...
Oh, I see.
The real Gary or Gary Kogan?
Yes.
Rick Gary?
He's talking to Studs over some suds at William Goat.
And I remember Irv Cups.
And Essig comes in.
We were at the pump room at the old Ambassador East.
And
then Tom Dreesen walked by.
As he usually does. Because he has nowhere else to go. He was on his way, actually, to Wrigley Field to sing the seventh inning stretch.
I've never lived in a house. It's always been an apartment.
I don't pay for drinks at William Goat.
At a saloon.
At a saloon, yeah.
At a tap. At
so
a
I run into tap. Roger Ebert over at O'Rourke's.
And, oh, yes, and Roger was a drinker. I mean, he liked...
He really had a problem.
Yeah, I mean, we had... Well, we both did.
But not a problem until your wife says it is, actually. And then these whores came over.
And then Bobby Hull lost his ring.
312-521-8600. About... A half hour ago, I got a text, and it said something like, do you plan this, or you just... wait. Do you plan this, or you just pull it out of your ass every afternoon? I'll tell you what, there's quite a skill to doing that. Thank you.
Speaking of which, can I tell you a sports story?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I have the script right here, and it says, 5:35, make fun of Rick Kogan. And that's what we did.
And Reed...
Can we call him Daddy Rick? Just start calling him
and,
that.
And read text that says, is this pulled out?
Yeah. So here, I mean, now it says Leslie's going to make a comment. Go ahead.
In World Cup action, Argentinian soccer star Javier Mascherano is recuperating from an unusual injury sustained during a dynamic block in the team's rout against the Netherlands. Quote, I tore my anus.
Oh!
I don't want to sound crude.
Well, but that's pulling what something out.
Wow.
I don't want to sound crude, but that's...
I don't see that in the script. What are you doing? Are you ad-libbing?
It's right here.
Get the delay. Oh, we don't have one.
I'm here, Mascherano, so that's what can happen.
He did what to his anus? He ripped
quote,
it?
I tore my anus. I don't want to sound crude, but that's what happened. No word on whether it's going to sideline for
crude.
Sunday's game.
How do you do that?
He stretched really far during a block.
Come on. I mean, I'll do the splits like Van Damme. I can do that.
Can you?
But I've never
torn. The muscles from Brussels?
And then Van Damme walked in.
And right in the middle of the floor, he just did the splits.
And then Ebert bought him a drink.
And Royko was over at Ridgemore Country Club one time at Jack Rickhouse. I was yelling at his caddy.
I hope you heard that story when he was on the AM. It was
one of the funniest things that has ever come out of Rick's pie hole. Lauren, first.
Hi. I just had a quick comment about Mindy Kaling.
Yes?
Honestly, I have no idea. I don't know anything about the ratings or anything. But I think this show really is, like, a guilty pleasure for, like, a lot of guys. I have, like, a male coworker and my brother-in-law. They're, like, really into the show. It's, like, I know it's very kind of, like, it's got a silly subject matter and stuff, but the characters are actually really, really funny.
Nothing screams funny to me and funnier to me than Indian gynecologist. You say those two words, and I will just crack up.
And I like Mindy Kaling because she's really good on The
it's
Office.
It's hard to tell.
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, she wrote a lot of the episodes on it.
Some of the best episodes, she was the writer, and her character was hilarious on that.
The
so
problem,
it's not like I don't like her.
When you're in a show that has 8, 9 other people, you don't have
right.
to carry the load.
Yeah.
And then they go and they start to headline the show, and they got to carry everything, and they're not bouncing off all those other great people.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've only seen
don't one be ep- honest with me.
I've only seen one episode, but what's gotten me so mad is just that it's so clear that Entertainment Weekly is over promoting this to try to get people to watch it.
Why are they so invested?
I don't know. I just think it's one of those things.
Because she's the whole deal. She's producing and writing and starring in this.
And she has a very big following, certainly amongst women. Younger women really like her because she is kind of the whole package. But you remember when you liked a band, when a band first started, you kept telling people about it, even if you didn't, a lot of people didn't know about it. You wanted to sort of share that. So I think that's what's going
on. Check out these Beatles guys. They're going to be good someday.
But I didn't know that guys were secretly watching.
How much of the gynecology joking goes on the show?
That was kind of minimal. There was a lot in the beginning, and the show just starting off was very, very, like, I don't know, just kind of dumb. But I kept watching, and the characters started to just really grow on you and that type of thing. So, and then Chris Messina and Ike Barinholtz, they're both really really good comedic actors, and they really hold a lot of the show, too, I think.
It is so hard to get a hit TV show, so she shouldn't be singled out any more than anybody else. The failure rate is huge. To get the cast
Although
and the writing.
Although I'm not getting that magazine.
What's that?
I'm not getting that magazine that's got her face all over the place. Maybe I'd be bothered by that.
Yeah, it's every week. Every week there's just a picture of her with a quote as how great the show is. I'm like, enough already. Maybe it is good, but don't keep telling me.
Well,
they
did that with Lena Dunham for a while. You couldn't
she was the it girl.
Sneeze
right.
without finding something Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
Lauren, do you like Amy Schumer?
I'm really nervous. I'm forgetting who that is right now. Is she the comedian with the blonde hair?
Yeah.
She has her own show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like her, but I listened to, like, too much of it, and it kind of got repetitive. But mostly, yeah. Yeah, she's
her
funny.
Stand-up stuff is hysterical. And when she does a guest deal on any of these talk shows, she brings the funny. And I really like her. Not that that matters.
Yeah, she's really good.
But that's one of the names that's being talked about to replace Craig Ferguson.
Oh, really?
Well, in the dream world of we need a female or somebody of color in this sequence of white male hosts for the last 40 years, it's time to do a change-up. And there's nothing to lose by putting somebody on at 11:30 that might be a little experimental.
Yeah, I think she would do a good job, although hearing her clean would be a very different experience.
That's true. Although, again, they can get away with more at that hour.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see that. That would be cool.
So hopefully they'll give somebody like her a shot. Or Lisa Lampanelli. The blacks and the coloreds.
And the gays.
And the... Yeah.
The homos.
The homos. I love the queers.
Well, she's like the female Don Rickles. I mean, she's basically taking over that.
I mean, and doing stuff that you thought there's never going to be a time where we can go back and do that stuff, and she plows right into it. I don't know. Maybe I'm different in that I like a lot of that sophomoric just going for it because you don't hear it that often. And it's, I know people, oh, yeah, you say that, but it is mean-spirited. They aren't mean-spirited in the way I see it. It's funny. Make fun of me. I don't care. What am I?
Well,
make fun of my German heritage. Octoon, baby.
That's what I love about your show, though. You pick on people. I was afraid to actually call because I was afraid I didn't have anything good to say.
No. Lauren, this is a whole new deal here on the Internet. This is more freewheeling and loose and comfortable.
What kind of name is Lauren?
Shouldn't the computer be kicking in right now to kick her out of here?
In the old days? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where's the music?
You've been on now 5+ minutes. That's not going to happen on commercial radio. They're not going to take the time. No, they're not going to. They're going to shove you off after four. Oh, there it is. That's just reminiscent. I don't need that anymore. I don't need to shove anybody off. I don't feel the pressure of any ratings. I don't care. That's the beauty of this. Now
Lauren,
you're crying.
Lauren's crying.
Now you made her cry.
So Lauren was my grandmother's name. He made fun of my grandmother.
I said this yesterday, Lauren. I don't know if you heard this. I read this obituary, and somebody said about the guy who died, he never had a bad thing to say about anybody. And I don't know how you go through life. You'll never be in radio, that's for sure. But if you can go through life and not say one bad thing about anybody, God bless you. Because it is hard to avoid that.
Yeah, that would be impressive.
I don't know if I've gone through a day, at least in the last 6 weeks, where I haven't said something bad about somebody.
You're not indicative of your whole life.
No, I mean, but
your obituary will say that you're very honest.
Well, yeah, that's very polite. Thank you.
You have to spin it well.
But it's not, Lauren, it's not mean-spirited when I say it. When I was talking to Dieter yesterday.
Dilbert.
Dieter. That's that Mike Myers character.
Kiss my monkey.
Let's dance.
Kiss it.
Now we dance.
To me, that's one of the funniest things that you have, like, these days. What's... Just making fun of Dilbert.
I think, and he's a fairly nice guy. I don't want to make it personal. I think everybody has somebody in their office they just have to deal with, and you can't say anything because you know you'd end up probably fired or whatever. And I might if I keep this up. I don't know.
Well, he would if he listened.
But I don't say anything on this show that I don't say to his face. And Craig was in the office yesterday. We both met with him. And I said everything that you've heard here kind of to his face. I didn't call him Dilbert or anything, but I wonder if he even knows that.
I don't know.
I don't know if he even knows. I don't know if they listen. I'll be honest. I don't think they listen.
I don't think they do because some of the things that we've talked about.
I think they would at least go, hey.
I was expecting emails the next day.
Yeah, chill. But I don't hear a word about that. And that, I guess, goes to show either if they are listening that they're good sports about it or they're not listening.
I think he's a good sport about it. I bet he goes home and everyone calls him Dilbert now. It's just his nickname with everybody.
And he punches a pillow.
Son of a bitch! I got that! Damn Gary Meyer.
That's awesome.
Thought I got rid of him.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought here's what we're going to do. We'll tell him, or we won't tell him, we'll just one day go, you're on the Internet after 5 years on AM. He'll be so bugged. You look at the guy's history. He's going to crack and go.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'll leave, and we'll be done with
it. It'll be fine.
The next day, you're on the Internet. You don't work there anymore. And I just went to the Internet. Son of a. Okay, what can we do? We'll change his office right before he goes on vacation. That'll do it. So they do that. And then I come back, and I'm unpacking boxes. Well, that didn't do it. How about we pull his producer that he's had for 8 months? That'll do it.
Well, you know,
what's left?
Well, no, the funny thing is, the funny thing is, I've always used the term. I thought they're going to sweat you out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now your office is like a sauna. They are sweating you out.
That's the other thing. This office, it has a southern exposure.
They
so
are
you
literally
get all
sweating you
the
out.
The sun when it's out there.
Oh.
And it is kind of warm. Now, I don't really like air conditioning that much, but this is uncomfortable. So I asked the engineer. I said, "Hey, can they kind of fix this?" Well, when they took the part of the station for the restaurant, the controls are on the other side of that wall, so we don't have those controls anymore for the air conditioning. They have that in the restaurant,
so that's what it is.
So I have to call House and Hood.
Could you turn my air
to get some air conditioning and maybe order a cheeseburger?
And can I have a turkey wrap?
That reminds me of when I worked at WYN. If the transmitter went off, we had to call the Chicken Unlimited in Arlington Heights because the transmitter was next to the Chicken Unlimited, and if the power went off, they'd know.
They would know. Hey, is our beam still on? Yeah.
Is our stick on? And give me a bunch of white meat and some coleslaw.
Some slaw.
Hey, so, you got to laugh, Lauren. You just cry all day otherwise.
And what's so funny is Howells and I was in Howells and Hood one time, and they have the air conditioner cranked in there.
32.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So they, can't they just like push a little of that air into your office?
My and when I'm eating, there, my nipples are so hard that they hurt. God.
I mean,
you gotta go Shawshank. Hang a picture on your office wall and just start chipping away behind it.
Through there to reach the control.
Oh,
my. Why do people do that? It's a little warm out and they dial it down to 39 degrees.
But that place is really.
Why do they do that?
I don't know, but that place, I mean, there's a lot of places that you've always made jokes of that, but this one, I couldn't even believe how cold it was.
Do 20 somethings like it really cold? Is that their deal?
I don't know.
Because that's what they're catering to. Yeah, they got a lot of beer and stuff, and they get a lot of hipsters
their
in there.
Their clientele is hot.
Hot. They got hot rods in there.
I was at the bar, and a whore came up to me.
These whores were there.
They were all over.
They were ordering Cosmopolitans and Appletinis.
And then Joe Pepitone walked up. And, hey, I got a text, by the way, Lauren. Listen to this. This text says, did Bibble talk to Bobby about their lids? Did you compare your lids?
Oh, mine is so much better than his.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Bobby's right. Bobby has been known to have bad ones for years. Because he went to Hairline. Remember the old Hairline?
He used to do those commercials,
Hairline
yeah.
Creations, yeah. I think Bobby takes his off every night. See, mine's polyfused.
Yours is polyfused.
Polyfused.
It stays on.
So do you out other system wearers?
If they're not members of the club.
If they don't admit it.
They have a special handshake.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, it's more like from the in the Sting. We touch our noses. Let us know that we're all in there.
That's right. When you pass each other
you
on the street.
You don't say anything.
But you know. Because they all get a list of who wears them.
Yeah.
It's a private list.
Yeah. And we discard a little nod.
I have to say, I didn't know until somebody called.
Was outed. I was outed.
Bibble on it on the air that he had a lid. And yeah. I've known this guy for 20 years.
I was outed. But I got it. In a while, when we didn't see each other for a while, so but even then, I mean, after we reconnected, I had it, and you didn't know. In fact, when I was outed on the air, this guy says, "Do you wear a hairpiece?" And I said yes, and Gary said no simultaneously.
I thought he was talking to me,
and then he looked at me like I was Judas.
Yeah, because he betrayed me.
He goes, "You do." Oh my God, the betrayal on your face.
But you're
God.
One of the few people on the planet. That's seen him without it now.
Well, that was...
He and came there's in a and sight the, I won't ever unsee.
Yeah, it was flapping in the wind.
Well, because that went because I had it, they were when I was trying to dye my hair blonde, they couldn't match the color, and I was there for 5 hours, and I had to come to work, and they still hadn't done it. So I said, look, I'll come back tomorrow on Friday, but I have to leave. I have to get to work here. I can't continue to do this. So then I said, I'll just keep it, and I'll wear my hat and go to work.
And then he said he didn't have it on, and I said, just lift the hat. And it's an image that I can't shake. That's nice when you can leave your hair behind so they can match it like a Pratt & Lambert color chip.
Like a Lamborghini. Could you match my car to this system, please?
You do have a tropical fish color going. It's very. He looks like Dolph Lundgren, Lauren. If you can picture that.
Well, it's gotten a lot, but now with the sun, it's gotten actually a little... More,
the
sun,
on a fake piece, the sun lightens it?
It's real hair, so it lightens.
But it's not connected to anything.
It doesn't matter. It's not connected
to
anything.
Is it still dyed from that other show when you guys were talking about it?
Yeah.
It's still that same color.
Yeah, it's like this.
What other show?
Just like earlier, a few days ago, he dyed it.
Oh, that
was
show.
Blonde?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's blonde. It's definitely blonde. Okay. It's all blonde. Before, I just had some highlights. You know.
Carpeting and drapes?
I'm catching everyone up to date in case they missed
Do you leave your? Yeah. Do you leave your carpeting behind, too, and they match that?
Well, I had a Brazilian, so I'm all Ken doll down there.
Boy, can he swim fast.
You guys, I gotta go, but
I do too.
Your show is like the best show there is, just so you know.
Lauren's thank like, you. Geez, I have to leave. Why am I online with these guys?
I just want you to know, Lauren, and you were nervous about calling. You were on over 14 minutes.
That's what she was afraid
gosh.
Of.
No,
and, you left me on by accident.
No. I'm glad to have you on, but again, that's what we can do here. Could not do that before. 14 minutes.
Well, that's wonderful.
That would have been 6 minutes. Be back in a few, and then 7 minutes later, hey, Lauren, we'll pick it up here.
Tom Skilling was never on for 14 minutes.
No.
Wow.
We would have had Orion, traffic, commercials.
Leslie.
Right. Duffy. Pete McMurray dresses as Marilyn Monroe tonight at 7. on the Pete McMurray Show.
And a money clip.
And a money clip.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Look at all those nice things that they've done for you.
Yes, they have.
Well, that's a bright side right there.
I can't. Oh, John Williams is going to invoice you.
Oh.
That's his property.
I'm going to see my grandmother today, John.
She's cancer-free. My daughter just paid off her student loan after 15 years.
Hey, I know how that is. I just finished the Duco.
I'm the Sudoku king. I'm going on a cruise. Oh, be careful.
Don't pick up your phone. Don't answer your phone if you're in a gift shop.
In a gift shop, especially if your wife picks it up. 312-521-8600. Amy.
Hi, Gare. I was just wondering if you're still watching The Bachelorette, because I'm shocked that she dumped Marcus.
I have not watched this at all. Oh, I was just into that Pablo Cruz or whatever. What was his name?
Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
I mean, she was in love with him. The way they edited it or whatever, you could kind of tell that she...
The guy that died.
No, not the guy that died. She didn't... Actually, he quit the show. He didn't like her.
Oh.
The guy that died.
Wow.
But she still cried and took a whole day off of the show, because, you know, the whole thing... But the guy that she really liked, she voted off. I didn't know you weren't
one. No, I'm not.
Oh, and another thing, Gary,
yeah.
I am a 000. Were you talking about that the other
yes.
day?
Yes. You're a 000?
Yes.
How big is your waist?
Oh, God, how embarrassing.
Why is that embarrassing? That's a good thing, right?
Oh, it's like 20 and a half. It's like 21 inches.
Oh my.
How did you do that? You're not sick, are you?
No. I've always been tiny. I'm a tiny girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you can hear us whistling because you're just hearing that segment from 90 seconds ago. That's how long the delay is.
Sorry.
So I can hear us whistling in the background.
Well, I was on with that? Lauren the whole time, too, but I was trying to not laugh, so I didn't override her.
The funny thing is, Lauren hung up on herself.
You didn't even say goodbye to Lauren.
I didn't say goodbye. I just looked at the phone, and she had hung up on herself.
She's like, I can't stay out anymore.
I was waiting for Lauren to... But anyway, I didn't know if you watched The Bachelorette.
No.
Oh, and Elton Jim, do you know the song by Elton John? Is there a song about Amy?
Yeah, from Honky Chateau.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Amy, I may not be James Dean. Amy, I may not be 19. Yeah, it's a great song.
Oh, isn't it good?
Is your
Gary,
whole body
can you
slender?
Play that for me just one day. You don't not, you know, I know there's a lot of requests, but that song has never been really played a lot by Elton John on the radio.
I don't know if it was hit.
It wasn't a hit. It was just an album track.
Yeah, okay. It was a deep cut.
Deep cut.
I liked it because my name.
I understand that. So you're a small woman. You're a 000.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm still a woman.
Oh, I didn't say anything that you weren't.
No, I mean, you know, I don't look like a... Like a little jockey, or you know, like
a... I understand. Yeah.
I mean,
a little jockey,
no,
as opposed to a big jockey.
Right. That's redundant.
Wait. Jockeys are very athletic, but they're tiny men. Have you ever seen their waist?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, they're like me.
Well, how tall are you?
I'm 5'2½", so I'm short.
Oh, you are super petite. So
how much do you weigh?
Oh God, this is 91. Pounds?
91 pounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that look like on your driver's license? I always thought if you get double digits on your driver's license under weight, that's pretty impressive.
When I was 16, I actually weighed, you know, the same. So it's the same. Most people kind of say, you gained. No, I didn't. Just still tiny.
She's like a punchline, 91 pounds soaking wet.
It is. Did they have to say 91? Couldn't they have said 92?
It was always 91 pounds soaking wet.
I know.
Do you have trouble finding clothes? Since
no,
this
because...
Is new?
She's not blind. Just open the drawer.
She's not a jockey.
She's none of those
so what kind of
little
silk
jockeys.
Do you like?
I, those little jockeys.
No, I meant, you know, there's... Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I like jockeys. I mean, no, I don't. I don't have anything against jockeys.
She's a big Eddie Arcaro fan.
I don't even know.
What was that? Billy Shoemaker or Schumacher?
Billy Schumacher.
Or the guy with that just won a few years ago. He was so happy. He had no teeth. What?
so happy, no teeth.
Well, no, he
I know who she's talking about. Yeah, I know who she's talking about.
Why didn't he have any teeth?
He was so happy, and he smiled, and he had no teeth, and I was crying. It was so real. Anyway, how did I get to him?
I don't know.
So, Elton, there's the song, Amy. It's a good song.
She's all over the
board.
Still
on that one.
She's back.
It is a good song.
I had
I covered three songs.
I had a friend say that somebody had a baby, and the baby was six, seven pounds when it was born. I said, I wish I was 6 pounds. I wish I was back to 6 pounds.
Well,
just think about it. We all start off at 7 pounds.
Think how much we gain.
Well, yeah. You start off at 7 pounds, maybe.
Oh.
I was born 8 pounds, 9 ounces. So
and you didn't get much bigger.
So you only gained like 80 pounds right. Your whole life.
You were almost at your fighting weight when you were born. Your waist
is
still the same.
I used to roll over. I did. My mom would sit me up and I'd roll over.
All right, Amy.
Okay.
Thank you
so much, Gary. Bye.
She has that little cap they put on their heads.
And the soft spot.
Yeah.
Firecracker Gary.
Hey, Meyer, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I wanted to give the update on the show just up in Wisconsin. It was a good one. It was about an hour long. Things were going along real good. And then my brother puts one of the mortars into the chute backwards. Lights it, and it explodes on the table, which is a glass table, and shot all the glass straight into the ground, thankfully, but it blew up right on the stand.
What knucklehead puts a firework on a glass table?
That would be me.
Even if it's put in right, that seems dangerous. So this thing blows up the glass table.
Blows up the glass table.
How many people are standing around within about 3 feet of this?
About 15.
Yeah. Nobody got hurt.
Nothing. It was safety glass. It shot straight down, but the sound was incredible.
I'll bet. Ooh, Where was this?
Up in Lake Geneva.
And this was last Friday.
Yeah, so it was a good time.
Yeah. Got the mortar upside down on the glass table. Going to light it up. Okay, Gary, thanks for the update.
All right, thank you, Dean.
Okay.
Spartans! What is your profession?
6 o'clock. 312-521-8600. If you're going to taste tonight, you're going to have a soggy pickle. It's raining now.
Is it raining?
Well,
there is rain moving through the area. Yeah,
it's moving through. That jockey is Calvin Burrell.
Yes,
with the no teeth.
Right,
no teethers.
Yeah, he won.
Did you get him kicked out by a horse? Never stand behind a horse. I know that, and he's a jockey. Here we go.
Testing
now. 1-2. Oh my gosh!
A man who is known far and wide for his after dinner talk.
Kick that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, Orland Park and Dublin. Three gorillas at a Minnesota zoo walked out of their unlocked cages.
Come on.
The three were described as bachelor gorillas. Hey, how you doing?
I don't have time, darling.
20 minutes later, two of the gorillas were secured.
Hello.
The third was found in a storage room playing with boomer balls.
Those aren't pillows.
Hope Boomer enjoyed that. If you're a gorilla, what better time to escape than the weekend when Dawn of the Planet of the Apes opens? You want to see if you're being portrayed accurately, right? That's not the way we act! Boo! Thumbs down, big hairy thumbs down from these three gorillas.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Veronica Chaos is a ventriloquist, formerly a stripper, who at the end of her ventriloquism show has sex with a dummy. How many times have you said that? Remember, all vents wake up with wood. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes.
I love it. The louder the better.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting off the grid and all over the planet on WGN.FM. The F is for flying on the Super G, the Streamliner, in Chicago.
Get a good feeling, yeah. Sometimes I get a good feeling.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Leanne?
Yes, Gary.
Hello.
I am so excited. I'm in Alaska and Anchorage visiting our daughter. We're originally from Joliet. We're up for 3 weeks. And with the three-hour time change, you're 3 hours behind us. I kept forgetting what time I needed to dial you up here on my heart radio on my iPad.
It's 9:05 there now.
No.
It's wait, behind. I'm sorry. You're 3:05.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's so right, because they're to the west of us. And Mr. Skilling will be up there next week. Maybe you can all grab some brunch.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We were thinking of going up to Fairbanks. I don't know where his place is.
I don't either. It's out in the woods somewhere.
There's lots of woods here.
Yeah, I guess everything is pretty much out in the woods up there. So you're up there for 3 weeks, huh?
Yes. We came up last year for 3 weeks when she first moved here. And, oh, my gosh, it's just beautiful.
What does she do up there?
She works for a fitness center.
And couldn't find that kind of work here, or she wanted to go to Alaska?
No, she was in Jersey. She worked out there. She lived out there for quite a few years, and she just wanted to try something different. You know, she wasn't married, no kids or anything, and she had been here vacationing 4 times, and she really wanted to work here sometime, and the opportunity arose, and she moved here, and so we follow our daughter wherever she goes, and here we are visiting.
She's an oink, one income, no kids.
Well, she got married up here last year. So.
Oh, she is married now. Okay, she's a dink.
Married now, yep, to an Army guy.
It's expensive up there, right?
It is, yes, it is expensive. It's almost $6 a gallon of milk.
Oh, okay. Well, don't drink any milk.
No, but the gas isn't too bad. It was before the 4th, it was like $4.19 a gallon, but now it's down to $4.01 a gallon.
They got gas coming out of the faucets up there because it's oil rich.
Yeah, well, it's higher than it was last summer when we were here. It was about $3.96, and it was like that for months and months and months. They don't fluctuate up here like they do back home.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country, though. I'll give you that. I was on a cruise up in the Panhandle there and took one of the best naps I've ever taken.
Well, yeah, it's awesome. Wherever you go, mountains and green trees and water and salmon. We went to see the bears eat the salmon on Saturday up at Katmai on the Brooks Falls. And oh, my gosh, that was awesome.
It's good to see nature doing what it does, bears eating salmon raw. It's like in that National Geographic documentary where it just flaps around in the bear's mouth until they shove it all the way in.
Yes, it's exactly. Yeah. We felt like we were on the National Geographic. It's right there in front of our face. And we had to walk about a mile and a half to get where the station was for you to, you know, they built like a patio deck, like, you know, but they only allowed 40 people there at a time. But you could stay for an hour, and then we would have to leave, and another group would get to come out. But you could go back again. But as we're standing on that platform watching these bears, which are, you know, right in front of us at the water, a bear comes out of the forest and walks right underneath us. Oh, my gosh. It was just unbelievable.
And, Leanne, you know what he did in that forest, especially after eating the salmon.
That's true.
And I'm surprised they don't choke on the bones.
But, you know, they probably chew them up, too.
Yeah.
I didn't see any heads flying, so they must eat the whole thing.
Yeah, I Tom has been talking about Alaska for years, and he built a house up there. He loves it.
Oh, I know, and I've been hearing him talk about it all these years. And then when she moved up here, I thought, oh, my gosh, we get to go see what the last frontier actually looks like.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you checked in and glad to hear everything's going well.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to me. I enjoyed the last lady, too, because I'm a little tiny gal, too.
What's your waist size?
I don't know what my waist. I haven't measured in a long, long time, but I wear double zeros.
Okay. If I took both hands, could I touch all fingertips by clamping them together?
Pretty much, I think. Depends on how big your hands are.
Yes. Well, that's pretty impressive. I don't know how you can manage a 20-inch waist in today's world. There is so much good food out there.
Well, I eat. I definitely eat. I just have the metabolism. The only time I was overweight was when I was pregnant, but I lost that right away after I had my kids. So
when your waist ballooned up to 24 inches.
yeah, and I was actually wearing like a size 5 dress or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's why people hate you.
Yeah, I know. My sisters do, too.
Yeah. Well, you got a gift going there, Leanne.
It's fun. My daughter's a little bigger than I am, so I get her hand-me-downs, which is good, too.
That's good when the mother-daughter clothing circle can continue.
Yeah, when it switches, instead of me handing her my stuff, she hands me hers.
All right, Leanne, have a good trip.
Well, thank you, and I love you on this station, and I'm glad I finally remembered to check in with you on time.
Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Love you, love you, love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Leanne, from Alaska.
That is pretty cool to think that she's in Alaska.
Well, the AM, they do the internet too, but it's not the same.
No.
They're not official. That's just an add-on. This is the full-blown.
This is a
this
stream.
Is it. This is
it.
This is the way God intended it.
This is the full-blown channel. That's mm-hmm. just a little sideline, a little add-on.
312-521-8600. I'm just going to read this text. I just kind of got a glance of it. Don't want to be weird, but back to local rock. Bibble brings up the shoes. I get a message from Gary Klebe, sometimes lead vocals, guitar, passed away. What? Is he was in the shoes?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember any of the members of the shoes. I just remember the shoes.
Please show some respect, play some shoes. Or ask Bibble to not present as all I asked for was some cheap trick, and now it's all right. That's that same guy.
Jeez. I was
20 inches. My thighs are bigger than that. is the next text.
20 inches. And how funny then, her sisters don't have that same metabolism. She said her sisters are jealous of her. So how crazy is that?
20 inches. I'm trying to
20 inches.
Get a scope on that. What's a CD?
It's a musical.
it's a thing. It's a round thing with a hole.
It's a discular, musical, digital.
What, just to get a starting point, what is the diameter of a CD?
I don't
know. So that's 5-7 inches?
So what would be the circumference?
It's about 5.
I'm looking for the radius. What am
You're looking for the circumference, I do believe.
3, 4. It looks about 5.
All right. So
if you use that knuckle kind of thing.
Your inch knuckle?
Isn't it like...
That's how you measure.
Don't they say that your right. knuckle is an inch? Yeah, so just using that, I would say that it seems to be about 5. So, 4 more of those.
4 more CDs.
3 more of these.
3 more CDs.
Yeah. It's probably this big.
No, that's tiny. 000 is then less than 20 inches. That's the new size in some countries, mostly Asian.
Yeah. Right.
I got some Dan... And I'm going to spin that right now off
okay,
a CD.
Okay, wait a second, because I went to look for that other thing. So
what, Amy?
No. I was looking for the shoes there.
Okay. I gave you the CD for Steely Dan.
Oh, I know, but I have it here.
All right, you got to play it off your iPod, otherwise it's not official.
Yeah, here we go.
WGN.FM. SD. And while Donald Fagen sings that, you can think, if you're in the audience, that he is imagining you being stabbed to death or something.
Or on fire.
Or on fire.
Yeah.
Steely Dan on WGN.FM. Gary Meyer and the Streamliner continues till 7 live, and then the whole show is replayed from 7 to 11. All shows are podcast. Somebody texted about the volume of the podcast was off yesterday, and I asked Cleith what's going on, and he said that some of the people that work those have different volume attitudes, and he's trying to get that uniformly done now.
Boy, this process really seems to be...
complicated, man.
Wow.
It's ponderous.
Ponderous, man. It's ponderous.
This text, the 312-521-8600, the only thing that would make today's show better is if you talk about Judy Bart Topinka's white shorts.
Hi, Dal.
Those big-ass shorts. There is a fan company, a ceiling fan company called Big Ass Fans. I don't know if you've seen the ads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, true. That's the name of the company. She should
And this is not a negative thing. She should market those shorts she wore when she got on stage with George Brian.
Doing that nice little cha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
I'm a big-ass fan of the big-ass fans.
Big-ass shorts.
Or shorts.
For my Judy. 312-5, I'll give you that number. All right. I get a text, hey, give the number out more so we know what to call, what to text, whatever. That's the number.
Yeah, because I'm noticing a lot of people are still texting
downstairs
to the WGN AM site. Yeah.
Is it the same number?
No, it's
a different number.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why would it be? If it's the same number, wouldn't make any sense.
I thought they did a whole switch on all the texting.
Right. And so people are still right now on the AM, you text to the same number that you would call the station at.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And people are still sending Gary notes on that text line.
Oh, that must be nice for them then.
So this guy, we were talking about that local band from years ago, The Shoes. And apparently a guy from that band died today.
Whoa. What does Little Lincoln think about that?
So that's weird.
I mean, I just pulled The Shoes out of nowhere when we were just talking about local bands, and I knew that I had some Shoes on my iPod.
And a 20-inch waist is just a little bigger than a CD.
A 7-inch diameter gives you approximately a 20-inch circumference.
Wow. That's
Whoa. That's about the size of Little Lincoln's waist.
That's right.
On that 7-incher.
Did you buy him yet?
No, I have to look.
Bibble wants to buy that 7-inch Lincoln from the commercials.
I should go on right now.
Yeah, right. How much is that thing? If it's more than $4, don't buy it.
What do you think it would be under? Like
Little Lincoln. Under whoa.
Miniature Lincoln, oh, maybe. All right. I just got my miniature Lincoln in the mail, John. Does he still do the Bright Side? No? I hope.
Yeah, he did
Does
it today.
He? Yeah. Well, it's a perennial.
it's a standard. Yeah, okay, here's the funny part.
I mean, why would you bring him back?
Maybe nobody
if
else.
If he didn't
would.
Do it.
Because I had moved back downstairs to the first floor, it's in the hallway by the showcase studio for the AM, and they play the AM in the hallway, and it's up very loud. So, yes, I can tell you I heard the Bright Side today.
Oh, you did hear it?
Yeah.
Good for you.
John, we're going on vacation tomorrow.
Going to see Willie Nelson tomorrow at Ravinia.
Got the tickets for my birthday.
I love Willie.
My little Willie. Well, that's good. So you're confirming the cost of Little Lincoln.
I am looking up Little Lincoln.
And while you're doing that, I will share this story. Couple was caught having sex on a sidewalk in front of a church in Oklahoma City. And if you saw their picture, you wouldn't want to see them naked. I'll just say that. What's with this?
This pot found its ugly lid? Is that what you're saying?
Every pot has a lid, and boy, these two, please do not have kids. I hope they had protection. And this is not the first time I've heard of a story like this. A few months ago, there was another couple somewhere else that was having sex by a church. What is this, a new craze?
They do have lovely lawns, usually.
The naked couple reeked of alcohol. Always got to blame the alcohol. Alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems, according to Homer Simpson. They were charged with the usual active lewdness, indecent exposure, and public drunkenness.
You'd have to be drunk.
Let's have sex right here.
Well, you go into the confessional. Nice little dark room.
Get it off your off your record right away.
Yeah, right when you do it, you're done.
They are selling the miniature Lincolns in the new Walgreens across the street in the souvenir section.
No!
You can pick one up right after the show.
Oh, then I'm going to go. Wow.
Whoa.
And then you'll take it home. And you'll do what with it?
I know. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see if it's in. If it's a good.
What's your price point where it won't be purchased? If it's
$7.
If it's more than $7.
Yeah, I will not pay more than
$1 an inch.
He's going to be more than that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I won't. No, maybe 10.
18, I'm thinking.
Oh.
Why?
Oh.
For what? What does he do?
He bends.
He's a rail splitter.
Cost extra.
You son of a. He was fighting wars when you were banging cheerleaders.
I'm not talking
about
I'm not talking about his views. No, I mean.
How much does a dowel cost these days?
But it's not a dowel. Isn't it just a little rubber thing?
I'm thinking it's more like a Gumby.
Remember Gumby?
Remember the Gumby dolls?
So you're thinking it's kind of that stretchy rubbery
thing. Like a rubber thing. Yeah. I would not pay. It's 10 is the most I'll go.
Well, you're just fishing for us to buy it for you as a present, right?
So you go to Walgreens after the show, you buy it, and then there you are driving home, and there's little Lincoln on your passenger seat. Boy, what a day you've had.
And then you put him in your window. And there's your little Lincoln. That's where he's like, and then you put like, maybe that would be funny then is that you put like a little thought cloud. And he says, whoa.
That's an add-on you'll have to do at home.
Yeah, I have to do that at home. I just have to
get a craft project.
Yeah, I have to get my markers and construction paper. But I'm trying to think now, where would I, you know what I still have? You laugh. You make jokes.
No.
But one year for my birthday, you bought me this little robot. You remember this little red robot?
Yeah.
Still have him? He's on the shelf with all the other cool stuff.
Well, that was a nice little robot.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Why would you get rid of that?
I wouldn't. I will not.
It's still on display.
It's like proudly. But my point is, you could see that it was a throwaway kind of. Whoop. Whoa.
It was not a throwaway. That's why you stopped yourself. It was a very well thought out gift.
Yeah. No. But I'm just saying it's a small little thing.
What's a throwaway?
No. I don't mean that. I mean that in a way that you could say like, okay, well, that was something that, you might put on a shelf for a while and then maybe it gets shuffled away. You know, but
or regifted. Go ahead.
No, not regifted. No, but my point is I still have them.
What's your point?
Is that I have him, you bought him, you gave him to me, and I put him, and he's probably displayed. I don't do that.
And when you get home, you can put Lincoln right next to the robot.
Right, because he's lonely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
And then you can do like, where they're like fighting each other.
Yeah, like in different poses. No, but my point
you
is that.
You could become the Ray Harryhausen of little Lincolns.
Right. I do have like.
Who's that?
Ray Harryhausen. He did the Clash of the Titans, like all those
little
first stop action stuff.
He
was like the
dinosaur.
Big science fiction guy, you know, or the special effects guy. But no, my point is that I usually have these little.
Remember, you don't have to say what your point is. We're hearing it.
Whatever.
You're going to get called on that. It's a drinking game in some circles now.
Well, let them get drunk. It's the weekend. That's why I'm doing it more today. No, I have those little tchotchkes and the cool ones. I don't get rid of. I keep them. So this would. I have a little thing of Vito Corleone. Little figurine of Vito Corleone, the Godfather.
Do you still have those Three Stooges?
No, I never had the Three Stooges.
What do you have with the big heads?
I've got those.
You see them at liquor stores.
Yeah, those statues that have the big heads and the little bodies of like classic entertainers.
Like, yeah.
Like you know. So I have. I've got
Charlie Chaplin
right.
and things.
Yeah, I don't have him though. I've got Jack Benny. And I've got the three honeymooners. They don't have Trixie, but I've got Ralph, Alice, and Norton. And then I have the three Marx brothers. I've got Bogey. I've got Jimmy Durante. I've got, stop laughing. I've got the four Beatles, which are impossible to find now because they put those out before they were checking a lot on all the licensings. Those things. They don't make those anymore.
Where did you get these things? I would see some of these. Were they decanters or something?
No,
I see them in liquor stores.
No, they're huge. I mean, they're statues that are very heavy. I also have Jackie Gleason as Reginald Van Gleason because I like Jackie Gleason. I said Bogey, right? Of the four Beatles. Oh, Ray Charles, Louis Armstrong.
So, you don't have room for a little Lincoln.
That's the only diversity he has. Those are the only coloreds in his neighborhood.
Got a couple of blacks.
Blacks. The queers.
Yeah. Well, I got all my Elton stuff. Yeah.
I got queers.
Yeah, I mean, it's multi, very diverse in the house. But, there was a place, you remember Chuck Shaden?
Yeah, that guy did old time radio.
He did the old time radio on BBM. He owned a store on Irving Park near Austin called Metro Golden Memories. MGM, you know, Metro Golden Memories.
And boy, when you walked in.
And so.
Ka-ching!
Yeah, so when I was in my late teens and throughout my 20s, I mean, that was pretty much, if you wanted to get me a present for Christmas or, you know,
birthday, you, that's where you went.
You were registered there.
Oh, yeah.
What doesn't he have? Well, he doesn't have Jackie Gleason as Reginald Van Gleason.
And I'm so mad.
And apparently he still doesn't have a Trixie either.
No, they never made a Trixie. So I only have the three, but I have the three Marx Brothers. But
he's got Ray Charles.
I've got Ray Charles and Louis Armstrong.
They left Zeppo and...
Zeppo and Gummo. They didn't have those.
And Gizmo.
But I'm so mad because now it's hard to find them. I'm sure if I went on eBay, I could find them. But
how much were they?
Geez, even back in the day, they weren't cheap. They were probably $40 a piece, which was, you know, in the, you know, 30 years ago, that was...
But you want a cheese ball little Lincoln, huh?
I like all my tchotchkes, but I really do like those statues. I mean, those statues, although my Beatles ones, they're very cool. They're wearing the gray suits with the ties, you mm-hmm. know, the early Beatles. And then one day, I think Thames the Cat was walking. One day we came home and Paul McCartney's head was on the floor.
Ding!
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 Of all the people. So I did.
But oh, my God. Oh, no. Mecca, what did you do? Stupid cat.
I mean, I can't blame her, but I can't imagine why. How else would that have fallen?
Well, she's dead, and you're still blaming her.
Right.
But thankfully, his head broke in about three clean pieces.
So that's what John Lennon said.
So I was able to glue that together. And it still looks pretty good. But yeah, those Beatles ones, I'm sure that, those were made, like I said, I got those in the mid 80s. And that was when the Beatles were not very popular like they are now. And so I'm sure they were just making those things without even getting any kind of image.
There was a lull in Beatlemania, is what you're saying?
Well, don't you think like in the mid 80s, there wasn't a big Beatles, kind of a thing going, not like there is now, obviously, where they're the younger people.
The youngsters.
So
the blacks
never really liked the Beatles, did they?
But, no, Leslie left, but this says don't ask Leslie. She doesn't know anything about dolls that bend because her mother bought her a slutty Barbie or a knockoff Barbie. Matt, you're working overtime today.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you should say that because I was working overtime. By the way, you were just talking about Barbie. It reminded me that a few years ago, some company got busted for it, of course. They were coming out with knockoff, but they were like, they had a trailer trash Barbie that had like a baby on her hip and a cigarette hanging from her mouth. And they had another one that was like slut Barbie or something like that. But they were total knockoffs. You know,
I'm surprised Mattel didn't pick up on that angle.
Yeah, well, Mattel busted them for it. I mean, you know, Mattel said, you can't do that. Because it was, obviously, it was cutting in on their profits and ruining the image of Mattel.
Well, maybe if Lincoln gets lonely, you can buy a slut knockoff Barbie as a companion piece.
There you go.
Or a Mary Todd.
Mary Todd. And about a thousand pairs of shoes.
You guys, you know, we're talking about old Chicago groups, you know, like the Shoes and stuff. Do you remember the group called the Hounds?
The Hounds were great.
Yeah, the album was called Putting on the Dog. It was a great album cover.
They did the, what was the Stone song that they did? They did a cover of a Stone song that was...
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. Was it Jumpin' Jack? No.
And
no,
you
no.
call yourself Mr. Trivia.
I can't remember everything, Gary, but...
Because he's a courier. He's busy.
As I told you in the email, I've got a smartphone that's issued by my company that I don't pay a dime for, and that's what I hear you on. And then I got my personal phone to call you on, so I got it made.
Good.
You know.
Good.
And I've had a car stereo for years that has a jack in the front. In fact, the one I had before this had a USB port in the front that I can plug right into. So that's old technology. But
how old is that car?
Oh, my truck is a 97, but I put the stereo in myself. I bought it.
I know, but the oldest one that has the port.
Oh, that was a car stereo that I bought at Fry's Electronics, and it was, God, that was, 7 or 8 years ago. It finally...
That cut off by itself, so something switched.
I think we switched again.
Cubs game must be over. Because when they do a switch down on the AM, it somehow, Clark, with the plate in my head when Lois turns on the microwave, it pissed my pants. Or whatever that phrase is that pays from Eddie, Cousin Eddie. What was his wife's name?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
And we talked about it a day or two ago.
I know. Remember the hounds they did Under My Thumb? Remember? Changes come.
I know the song.
But they did a version of that was really cool. They were good. They were popular.
All right. You guys Shoes, play those. Hounds.
The Hounds and the
Hartsfield. Mason Prophet.
Who else?
Alioto Haynes and Jeremiah.
I'm trying to think of those other bands that like played the Thirsty Whale. There was that circuit that they just all, you know, they all played. And you guys were playing a lot of that stuff in the early 80s, late 70s. You guys were given a lot of local bands some airplay.
A St. Charles man died after being bitten by a copperhead snake while camping with his children. This is in Missouri. He died after he picked up the snake. It bit him on the right hand. His death is the third death involving a copperhead in Missouri's history. They were at a cabin in the park of this Sam A. Baker State Park, and this guy spotted the snake, and he pointed it out to his son. He went over, picked up the snake, and it bit him. He told officials, the son told officials, that his father went back inside the cabin, washed his hands, walked over, sat on the couch, started shaking, and passed out. And by the time he got to the hospital, he was dead. I don't need to pick up any snake. That's not good.
I heard that there's a lot of snakes in Naperville. There was a story that, for some reason, Naperville has got a ton of little snakes now.
Because
they have a river walk, and I guess all these snakes are...
But they're, I would imagine... Non-poisonous.
Oh, no, they're not. Yeah, they're not. No, they're not like pythons or anything, but there's just a huge influx. They're saying they're coming under people's, like, doors. They're coming into their homes.
Great.
Yeah.
Another reason not to live in Naperville right now, because it takes a half hour to make a left-hand turn. So busy.
Well, didn't you say you had garter snakes around your
house? Yeah, when they plowed the field in back of our house, all that wildlife had to go somewhere. So for that whole summer, many years ago, we had snakes in our lower level. And my father went to pick up what he thought was a belt.
Oh,
and
slithered
away.
Oh.
That's not a belt.
Wow, is that scary. Wow. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
But I have to have something very long if I have to pick it up.
Oh.
There's got to be a lot of distance between me and the snake.
I wouldn't even get close enough to have something to pick it up. But you can't trust the snake. History's proven.
That's what your bumper sticker says.
Look at the Bible.
You just can't trust those
snakes. Can't trust a snake. I feel sorry for the snake because it's probably not that bad of an animal, but... its reputation and that face. Those little eyes and that mouth.
Well, he picked it up, and the snake's doing what it's programmed to do.
Right.
Protect itself. But that's not good. You're on vacation with your family.
Oh.
And you probably are thinking, wait a minute. How did that happen?
No kidding. Why do we have to come on this vacation?
Yeah. Deaths from snake bites are extremely rare, though nearly 100 Missourians are bitten each year. About a fourth of bites are dry, meaning the snakes don't inject venom. This is often because a snake is trying to scare away an intruder, not kill you. Even the snake is trying to say, hey, the first one is just a warning shot. Treatment for snake bite is readily available, and many venomous snakes don't have enough venom to kill. Oh. Okay.
I mean, these guys are just trying to stay alive.
It's the same with the bears where they're foraging in your garbage. They're just trying to have a meal.
They don't get it. They don't understand.
And if you walk in on them, what are they going to do? Now they think, okay, it's me or him.
Well, what do we do?
Yeah.
When we're in a weird situation, don't we attack?
So we do, and we're more evolved.
Yeah, we just don't have venom.
Police arrested a man in Portland who karate kicked a police horse. And if you've ever seen Blazing Saddles, wasn't it Alex Karras who punched the horse?
Mongo, yeah. Which you probably could not even get away with today in a movie.
No.
You know?
I wonder how they did that. Because they didn't have the science we have today.
No, that was a real horse. Yeah, that wasn't some computer-generated horse. No,
but there had to be some trickery to it.
I mean, he walked right up and just nailed that thing right in the face. Down he went.
Pythons are not poisonous, you moron. Did you say they are?
I said a python. I don't know.
Well, you don't know. You're poisonous from your non-poisonous.
I'm just throwing a snake out.
When I was in Pennsylvania, they had a story about a rattlesnake that was hanging out at a playground. And rattlesnakes are not poisonous.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, how are we supposed to...
Why are we all afraid of them?
Because they're rattlesnakes.
So?
They're snakes.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Snakes have the best intimidation factor.
Oh, because of their...
I don't care how big they are. The funny thing about a snake...
Oh.
The whole thing is intimidating.
If I saw this, you were saying, oh, it's
you
just a garter snake?
You jump up on the table.
If you say it's a little garter snake, I'm running out of here. Yeah. I'm not saying, oh, it's just a garter snake.
No, you are going to jump up on a table or run.
So a rattlesnake, what does it suffocate you? Is that why I'm afraid of it? Because they say the rattler, don't get near the rattler.
If they're that big, they can constrict and choke you.
I just remember in the Ten Commandments that Moses' staff turned into a cobra and he ate Ramses' snakes. That's the only thing I remember.
It's a good thing to remember.
Well, now, cobras have to be poisonous, right?
Which snakes eat the entire goat?
Right.
So you see the outline of the goat in the snake.
Now, that one I would be afraid of. Can I be afraid of that one?
Because they unhook their jaw.
That's unbelievable.
And take the whole thing in.
That is unbelievable. What a digestive system.
How long does that take to digest a goat? How does it break it down?
Oh, and then you mean to tell me the whole goat is just sitting in that body?
At least the pictures I've seen on the internet, and I assume they're real.
Snopes.
That whole goat outline is in the snake. Annette?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you, Gary?
Good.
I got here in Belvedere. It's a nice day today. No weather problems.
No?
But I wanted to ask you, because it seems like they keep taking things away from you and moving you around. Do you still have your red stapler?
Still got my red stapler.
Okay.
When that goes, we know that we're at DEFCON 1.
Right. Before you know, you'll be in the basement.
No, I think right now they've thrown all they can throw at me. I think they're taking a rest. We're going to regroup.
Summer break.
Okay. Summer break. Coming back in the fall with all new torture.
I see.
They'll figure something out. Let's tell him he's going to Ravinia and then yank that. They've done that. Still standing.
Back to school sale.
All new after Labor Day. They're going to beat me with a white belt and white shoes.
But before they totally put you in the basement, would it be possible to get a pin?
All right, an old Dreamliner pin. They weren't old 5 weeks ago, but they are now. All right, Annette.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Antique, okay.
All right, hang on. I'll get your address, all right? Hang on. And maybe somebody can take her address. Annette's going to get a pin there. Oh, I got to do the caption winners. There weren't that many because it was such a goofy cartoon.
Even Scott admitted that.
Yeah, even he didn't get a lot of entries. Alan?
Yeah. Hey, rattlesnakes are poisonous.
They are?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because everybody's always afraid of them.
Because they rattle and stuff. They're snakes. You're afraid of every snake.
No. Any snake that has slits as eyes instead of round pupils, those are venomous snakes.
So there's your rule of thumb.
Usually, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got them up here in Minnesota. We've got timber rattlers up here in Minnesota. That's where I'm calling from.
And they're big, too.
They can be, yeah. Yeah, look on the brighter side, okay?
Yes, I will, and not pick up a snake. I know that.
So I have to get close enough to look at his slits in his eyes? By that time, I'm gone.
You're already five blocks away.
Yeah.
You're running like
a
sissy.
Well, that's why so many people get bit, because they're looking at their eyes.
Yeah, you want to get close enough to see if you should get closer, and it's too late by that time. Because they do that thing where they get up on they don't have a stomach or whatever. They're one piece.
Right, at hind.
They erect, and then they just, boom.
They sort of lean back.
And they shoot themselves.
That lean back thing for a
second.
Right,
and then they can pounce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch out for them.
Whereabouts in Minnesota are you?
I'm in near Hoka. When you talk about Green Acres, it's like the Minnesota Green Acres up here.
Yeah, all right.
I don't have a talking pig, though.
Okay, it's remote.
It's remote, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing a remote.
Attaboy. Thanks, Alan. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about Hartsfield before.
Uh-huh.
What was their hit song? I know they had one. Do you guys know, remember what it was?
I have to look that up. I can't think of it off the top of my head. Are you formerly from Chicago?
Yes, I am.
What brought you up to Hoka?
Well, actually, my wife and I are retiring up here, and I built a house from scratch. And
how much scratch was it?
What?
How much scratch was it? A couple hundred thousand?
Actually, no, I'd say I've kept it under 100,000. I've built pretty much everything myself except for the roof and for the foundation.
How did you pick that area?
You know, we just fell in love with the area. We wanted to be somewhere close to a somewhat big town, and La Crosse, Wisconsin is the closest, about 15 miles away. We're just on the other side of the river, and we were camping along the river one day, and we decided to make a trip up to La Crosse and just love the country up here.
All right. Well, keep in touch.
Will do.
Thanks, Alan. Have a good weekend. I don't remember the Hartsfield hit song, if they had a hit song.
Yeah, I'm looking. I mean, they have the album. They have their discography of their albums, but I don't really see a single. Did they have a big single?
Apparently not, because it's not popping out. Some winners for the caption contest. Okay. I'm looking at some names here, some repeats as far as they've already won recently, so I'm going to spread the wealth a little bit. And I'm going with Eric Avignon of Bourbonnais, Roy Kissel of Chicago, and Maria LeBron of St. Charles. Those three will get a muff, and I'm going to throw in the Lou Malnati's gift cards and things, too. We got those back on the
nice
prize list, so I'll do that. 312-521-8600. Did I just hear a Bibble Bible quote? It's a Bibble Bible quote. Moment. Do we have Tom Skilling's weather forecast? Yeah, let's hear that.
It's raining all through the northern suburbs right now, or good parts of it. And so we'll see some scattered showers. No lightning with this yet. But there may be thunderstorms coming later tonight. And tomorrow, we're going to get these bands of thunderstorms. They won't rain all day, but when they come through, they could be quite something, because we've got over 2 inches of water in the atmosphere. I've never known an atmosphere that has that kind of water that doesn't do something out of the ordinary with it in the way of flooding or active thunderstorms. And we also have a jet stream cutting through here, so we're out looking for severe weather tomorrow and tomorrow night. I think the best chance of severe weather is probably in the latter portion of the day or tomorrow night sometime, but it looks like during the morning we could have some active showers and thunderstorms coming through, and that's as the humidity is gushing in here. So we'll have 70-degree dew points by noon, and that's the stuff that really starts feeling humid.
So but that then could be next week, this whole crazy-ass,
The
polar vortex is coming back.
Yeah, this unseasonably. One thing, it's moving right along. And, you know, I really think that typhoon kind of set the precedent for this, or, you know, set the foundation for this thing to come. Because what happens, whenever you put a tropical cyclone in the atmosphere, there's just so much energy that these storms deal with that they buckle jet streams when they start moving up into regions where the jet streams occurred. They form in areas where there are no jet streams. But as they move north and carry all this latent heat energy with them, they buckle the jet. And when you buckle the jet in one place in the hemisphere, it immediately buckles everywhere else. So you set up some really interesting reactions around the planet. And I think this highly wavy jet stream is what's bringing this chunk of cool air down on Monday afternoon, Tuesday. And probably by Wednesday and Thursday, you know, we'll be pulling out of it pretty quickly. So I think by the end of the week, we'll be up around 80 again.
All right.
So it's a quick hit.
Yeah, the polar vortex that's been floating around for next week, it seems like it's a slow time of the year, the dog days of summer. Let's say that it's going to be a polar vortex in July, see if that gets a rise out of
it. The temperatures are only going to be in the mid-70s, so what? That's summer.
Yeah, it might get cool in the evening. Okay.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Okay. Guess who's back? No. Matt?
Oh, God. I'm back! Jerry, we got to stop meeting like this.
You're calling me. What do you got?
And now on with the countdown. The Hartsfield song was called Music Eyes. You remember that one?
No.
No. It was like, hey, hey, music eyes.
play a tune for me.
That was Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, sounds like it.
No, it was a great song, actually. Well, and by the way, your Bobby Hull sounds too much like Gilbert Gottfried.
All right, Matt, have a good weekend.
Okay.
Now he's turning on me. That's the thanks I get for letting him on the air all the time.
Oh, my God. He was on seven times today.
And in addition to everything else, it's a supermoon tomorrow. It's the moon at its fullest tomorrow morning, and that starts tonight, of course, when the moon comes out.
Yeah, but then...
It's a supermoon when the moon is somewhat closer to Earth than it typically is. The closest it will be this year is August 10th. Where you can, they say you can reach out and touch it.
It's made of cheese.
And you can put your name in the dust. So get ready for that.
So does that mean tonight it will be big, or only not until tomorrow morning?
Well, Tom said, I believe, what, six tomorrow morning, something.
But is the moon still out?
Yeah. Sometimes during the day you'll look up, oh, there's the moon.
Yeah.
Depending on where it is. Let's see, Monday, I mentioned this earlier, but I'll mention it again. Verizon is going to give away on this show at least one smartphone and one Bluetooth device and some other things at around 3:30. A person from Verizon will come in and give away at least one of those things and some other technology things.
Yeah, so Dan Fedor, who's one of the guests that'll be here to explain technology stuff with us, is going to give away a bunch of those connectors in your car to connect their smartphone to the car, too. So we'll have a bunch more people that can listen while they drive.
Maybe Anna, the one that powders herself up, can win that. You know, the old lady.
The woman who would stop by the Showcase studio and say, here's my routine. 3 o'clock, I've already showered, I'm powdered, and I listen to your show. That's the best way to listen to it.
Because you hooked up Joe, so we've got her all covered.
Yeah.
Now poor Anna.
I work across the street from the Tribune Tower, went to Walgreens to get Bibble the Lincoln Doll, and they're gone.
Oh.
Saw them there at lunchtime.
Oh.
Oh.
And they're already gone?
But they're gone.
7 hours.
Yeah, there's a run on...
There's a run on Lincoln. Oh, man. I was going to go today, too. Well, maybe... Do you think it's just the ones downtown?
I don't know. This is a super Walgreens, so I don't know if your average Walgreens has...
I wonder if I can get one over at the one on State
Street. State of Illinois building, maybe.
Has a presidential aisle of 7-inch dolls.
Of bendable figurines.
Of bendable figurines. I'm sure they had some storm session, some brainstorm session. What are we going to put in the super Walgreens? How about we put the 7-inch Lincoln doll in there? I love it.
How many can we get? How many gross?
How do you think they're going to move?
They have a brick of Lincolns.
And lo and behold, there is somebody that...
That bought them. You left.
Yeah.
I wonder how much... Did the person... Well, they didn't see them.
They didn't say... well, yeah, because there was nothing to see.
Yeah.
There's just that little tab at the end of the shelf.
Yeah.
Lincoln dolls, whatever the price is.
Because I went online. I don't see any... I don't know if the... I'll have to look up the presidential library. Maybe they have a gift shop. An online gift shop.
Well, you really want this doll.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
John,
I
got a Lincoln doll for the weekend.
John, I went to 7 different Walgreens. I finally found one in Batavia. Leslie won't whistle because she used to work with John.
Okay, that means what?
She doesn't want to get in on the...
Why? Is there some a problem? You had a falling out? What
riding
happened?
Riding a fence here. I'm just riding a fence.
Join the winning team. hop on over with your scurvy Barbie doll. Join the fun.
Your white trash Barbie.
She was just a knockoff.
At 17.
She was stiff and she had bad hair. Come on.
Yeah, she was stiff. Was you drunk?
John, my mother bought me a knockoff Barbie doll. That's too bad.
We all have our crosses.
John, our basement flooded, but we just got all the old carpeting out.
But our foosball table is okay.
Yeah, it's not too warped.
Dog finally got over diarrhea. See, I can play.
She knows the, she wants it. She knows the original
she
ones,
wants to
too.
Jump in.
Yeah, she even knows the good ones. My dog got over his diarrhea. Is that really a one?
It's not. Could be.
It, well, somewhere somebody is saying that's their bright side.
Let's put a fork in it, and thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. See you in mosque, temple, or church. You pick. And ending with some dogs on WGN.FM. Good night.